Yo, Charlie, guys, what did happen? We are back again, Charlie. Welcome to the If More Let's Divide podcast. And Charlie, my name is Mutombo, as usual. And I'd come with my co-host, Charlie Fred. What up? I've realized that you've changed your name somewhere. Is it on Instagram? You have written Frederick somewhere.
I always prefer to go by Frederick.
I feel you were taking a stab at me.
No. It's the people in general. But you know me from Kitty Time, so you call me Fred.
Yeah, but you don't really like Fred.
Never. But the people who know me from childhood who've called me by Fred, I feel like it's unfair to insist that
Okay, cool. Because I saw it and I'm like, maybe Fred wants to tell me something, but...
Oh, no. That'd be the
You ain't got a pulse too.
Yeah, the Charlie. People that they meet me where they introduce myself as Frederick Wade, they won't call me whatever they like.
Yeah. I mean, Charlie, media, my English Christian name be something that, you know, be named something at the hate. Like, it do me, ew.
So who, it be mommy where you choose your girl?
Yeah, my mom. You know, I never knew my dad. My dad wasn't even present when I was being named. So my mom did... And the worst thing my mom did was give me my father's surname still. Because as a woman, if your child had your surname, you were not a woman.
As a woman,
you have to marry. And you can't, you know, so my mom still gave me my father's surname. And then my English name, that's in my mom's ex.
Oh, really?
My mom called me that name to remind her of her ex.
Hey.
Maybe.
You never told
look,
me this
I've connected
story.
The dots. Because remember with Esther's episode?
Yeah.
I spoke about how my mom used to beat me.
Uh-huh.
Maybe she named me that name because of the ill thing that happened during her relationship with that ex. So that... she could beat me. She would use me as a sacrifice for someone's wrongdoing.
this be more than rap genius deciphering.
No, but it makes sense. Because one, why would you call me that name, your ex?
Maybe to forget your puppy. It'd be more logical.
Maybe to then the ex, they, you know...
No, I should say he be better guy.
Yeah.
I should say maybe he be the better
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, Charlie. But Charlie, we're still here. Charlie Fred, today we have two seats. And it means it's going to be sweet. Chai Raimu.
Yeah, I've been not
saying. It's going to be sweet.
I normally never do hold my phone, but this one, I for do some small.
And we never focus. Repeat.
I be, you know, we're on beat.
Receipt.
No cheats.
Speech
before greet.
Relentlessly.
Every time we meet,
Charlie, guys, one of my favorite podcasts in Ghana. Like me, Dengo Talks. I just talk for the benefit of the show. But me, one of my hosts be Mapadi from Sins. Even though I've not seen her in ages, she Mapadi, and anytime I see or hear her.
But how Gen Z be your party?
We go find out. We go find out. Yeah, Charlie, anytime I hear her voice, dope. And the guy, her co-host, Charlie, Zoo and Afi of Stay By Plan Podcast.
Yo.
Yeah, so Charlie, guys, so my intro ended at Zoo. Because anytime I watch them especially, I feel Afi is in a way bullying Zoo.
In a way. None of it is true.
Wait,
none of it is true.
Guys, am I right?
You're right.
They
lied. It might not come direct, but I always feel that. Because I know Afi so well, well to a point. And you see Zoo's face, like, and Zoo is just going like... It's not supposed to be so.
None of it is true. None of
it is
true.
No, but wait. Have you received this ever before from like someone?
Oh, yeah. People actually live.
All the time,
people encourage me that keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, some people take it very personal, like from a male perspective. That nah, Charlie, you know for
are you
for
serious?
People take it very personal.
Oh
yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You know for a lot of women to talk to you by heart.
Them things.
Yeah.
It be by heart or it be like. Just in, like friendly poking here.
Yeah, be friendly banter, yeah.
Yeah.
We meant to some of we when I go hard.
That's wild.
Yeah, Charlie. Guys, Charlie, we thank you for coming to the podcast.
Thank you for having
Hardly
us.
Hardly do we have two guests. This is our second time.
Third.
Okay. So yeah. Talking Drums and Billy and Omon Blanks. Yeah, so three.
That the great Billy and Omon Blanks.
That conversation, Charlie.
Yeah.
But Charlie, I know say today we are going to have an interesting conversation because 100%. To a certain degree, we do similar things,
yeah.
You know, and Charlie, welcome to the F More Let's Divide podcast.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure. We're also big fans, so yeah.
If Charlie, you know what? We are real here,
yeah.
Right? To be honest with you, yeah, you guys started this thing way before, like years. So we have been following and... Let me tell you something. When we started putting out videos, because I was watching you guys for a while, I was like, let me go to your YouTube video to see how you guys do it. Like, how do they do it? Let me check. So, yeah, back in the day, I would go to your page, like, several times, you know, in a month just to see how you are doing it. Like, so, yeah, you were one of the few, you know, podcast platforms I would go to see how... What we can take from you. So, Charlie, you guys are gross. You guys, the watch
Pace
we are. You the hear say, yeah, Charlie. So, Charlie, we salute you guys. Yeah,
thanks.
This conversation could go in so many directions from the start. But the obvious first question be, how do you guys know each other?
I'll let you tell the story.
We knew each other from university, when the same university.
Legon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, we just had like common friends.
Yeah.
So we're not even that close like in uni, but just like Ozu and Afi, like, oh, yo, what's up kind
yeah.
of thing. Yeah, we just knew each other, but we're not even that close in uni.
Wow.
Yeah.
And Fred, I say Fred.
Why are you shocked?
No, I mean, she has a presence.
Yep.
Go on. I'm listening.
That's it. I'm done. Yeah.
Oh, Afi said they tell the story.
Put for your mic.
Afi, oh, yeah. This mic, he didn't make it near my mouth there. So
Yeah. talk.
Oh, no, I don't get nothing to talk. Yeah. I just talk about the mic that in position.
So,
be a bit compromised.
Yeah. So, child, so at what point did you guys decide to come together to do this thing?
Yeah.
Is this the first thing you guys did ever together?
Yeah.
Oh no, we've done stuff before, like, but nothing
as in
concrete.
Like
we've worked like
creatively yeah, before, that's true.
Like, a couple times, but it's the first thing that's like, okay, me and you, let's do this. You
true,
know what I mean? Yeah, this
true.
The first one, yeah.
Yeah. So fun fact, like Zoe is like a videographer, photographer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So like, there are times where maybe I'm doing like a shoot and Zoe is part of the team and things. Yeah, but we had never really actively done something.
Shoot as a model or.
Yeah, in my heydays.
Yeah. Charlie.
Yeah. I think Zuka answered the you said when did we start the podcast?
So me, I've been a big fan of podcasts for years and I wanted to have my own podcast. You know, I'm sure most of you guys, I'm sure it's the same. You just hear, you listen to somebody's podcast, like, Charlie, I go feed you some, you know. So I'm like, okay, I want to do a podcast, but I don't want to do it alone. And I don't want to do it with another guy.
Yeah.
So I thought about the people I knew. Who will be comfortable on camera? Who will be comfortable talking on a microphone?
Aww. I was like,
who else? So I just hit her up and she's like, yeah, am I indeed? And we just started from there. So just asked her, yeah.
How long have you guys been at it?
It's about 3 years.
Yeah, about 3 years.
Ah, so you guys started before us.
Yeah,
I know that you guys started before us. I think a year later.
Because we're in our second year.
Yeah, we're in our second year. That'd be dope, Charlie. And it's crazy that your first collaboration was a hit.
Right.
Or it's a hit.
Right.
Right. And I'm saying this because of how hard it is to collaborate with people here in Ghana, especially 100%. People in the arts.
It's your home.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, If it's something one time, Charlie, yeah, shoot, Charlie can't help me.
Yeah.
You definitely find someone. But if it's something like, let's build 1,000, you know, glass chairs or glass tables over a period, it's hard to come by someone. And I don't know why. And Fred, there's something that you've spoken about a couple of times, you know, on the podcast. But I feel with them, it is different.
Yeah.
Did you ever imagine that, you know, you could come this far with a podcast?
Nah.
And what kept you guys going?
I mean, I imagined it too.
Yeah.
No, I feel like
from when I started it, the ideas I had, we don't even reach there yet.
Hey, sorry. Yeah. Hey, manager.
But it's like, I feel like what we've reached is, to me, is expected, but at the same time, it's like, wow. Like, you try.
Yeah, I think so. Especially like within 3 years. A lot of people just feel like we've been doing this for like a long time. Like, well, I thought you guys have been doing this for like 6 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, so for me, I shock how like it blew me Monday. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I really shock. Yeah.
This is gonna be a weird question.
Yeah.
But have you ever gotten the Free and AJ comparison?
The what?
Free and AJ.
No.
Do you know who those are?
No.
Sorry, I'm a millennial. Gee. 106 and Park.
Oh, right. No, okay. We haven't gotten that.
The original hosts were called Free and AJ.
Yeah. Mm. Okay.
Yeah, when you get a chance, look them up.
When I started watching 106 and Park, it was Terrence and...
Yeah, yeah, then they
Okay, then we have to check it out.
Yeah.
Free and AJ were the original hosts.
Right.
But, you might smile when you look them up.
Thank you, then, in advance.
That's good.
Me, I don't know Free and, you know. I know.
Oh, stop.
Maybe by face.
By the Kai 106 and Park.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
We're the original hosts.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. And why are you saying they remind you of them?
I don't want to say resemblance, but there's some energy. And then AJ was a lanky dreadlock guy.
Oh, okay.
Free was a dread, they wear rust dreads, kind of, but she also be almost like tomboyish. I don't want to say, but she's straddling the line, but she'd be correct chick. I don't want to talk.
Girl next door vibes. People tell me that I give girl next door vibes. That's like the girl.
Yeah. Basically, that's what it is. Yeah. So Free was very feminine, but she was also like, she can hang with the homies.
Yeah.
That type of chick. Yeah. That's what a girl next door
exactly.
And AJ was like, you know, he day by be cool, calm. Just look them up. You can see what I did.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So Charlie, I feel Afi.
Yeah.
I feel that your story should have been a flip. Because for me, Zoo, I might be wrong. Zoo doesn't come across as that outgoing kind of guy.
Yeah.
So it's quite strange why he rather came up with a podcast.
Yeah, right.
Because you are more of a talker than Zoo.
Yeah.
That's very true.
Yeah. When he called you, did you have those thoughts? And why?
Which thoughts, sorry?
Thoughts, actually. Bazoo, can he, you know, Zoo, you know.
Not at all.
Why?
I don't know. I just think I've always respected Zoo, like, if I'm being honest. Like, I like how calm and collected he is. But then when it comes to, like, creative stuff, he's someone that I've always looked up to. I've never said his name before, but I've always looked at him and respected him for So for him to have sent me that message, I know that he didn't just think about it, like, in the morning and he has texted me. Like, he's probably had a full simulation in his brain and he understood why he was asking. So I didn't deep it. And also, me and Zoo, like, I used to always worry Zoo on, like, Instagram. He's vegan, so, all right? Half man, half vegetable. He says he's half man, half amazing.
Yeah.
But anytime he posts, all right, half man, half vegetable, half man, stuff like that. So I already had a feeling that there was something for us, like, in the future, because we had, like, a good vibe. So when he said it, I was like, okay, so then this is what it is.
Zoo.
Yeah.
Where's the... like origin of that name?
So my name is Zulfikar. It's Arabic.
Charlie.
Okay.
But as you can imagine,
Leviticus.
So as you can imagine, Ghanaians are like Charlie. Zulfikar, bro.
Yes.
This one they remember fit.
What?
So they just started calling me Zulfikar. Right. And stuck.
Your parents are Ghanaian.
That's his name. Zulfikar.
Is it English?
No.
He said it's Arabic.
It's Arabic. Yeah.
Zulfikar.
Zulfikar.
Man of what?
Did you ever ask them why, or is there a philosophy?
No. My dad named me after someone he knew.
Okay.
Yeah. So. It's not, I don't think he went to searched and found a name. He just knew someone by the name and he respected him a lot. Okay. So he gave me the name, yeah.
Did you ever find out the meaning?
Man of wisdom. Hopefully we'll see it by the end of the conversation.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. So my thing is the question I was asking is how did, because I knew Afi was doing other things. Mm. One of them was, you know, off the top, you were appearing.
Yeah. Fun facts, he was on off the top way more times.
Yes.
Yeah.
So how did off the top help you guys, you know, walk on this path?
Okay, so from my perspective, before off the top, I hadn't really been on camera and stuff like that before. I was always on the other side of the camera. So when Joseph hit me up, like, oh, he wants me to be on the show and everything. I remember the first day, I was a little nervous. I was fine. I was able to talk and things, but it was just a new space for me. And I think a couple of times we interacted on the show. Mm. And so from then I knew that, I mean, to be fair, everybody on the top, you kind of get along with everyone.
Yeah.
But just because I had that experience with her, you know, I knew that, oh, when I was deciding to start the podcast, I knew that, oh, there's something that we've had that connection before, so we can start it easily. Yeah. But yeah, it was new territory for me. For her, definitely not.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's been in front of the camera, but for me it was kind of new for me. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Fred, I mean, you mind? Sorry, guys. Me, I go talk plenty today, because I know Afi so well, and not so well. Why do I keep on?
No, I feel like even though we don't spend a lot of time, like the few times that we spend together,
we will talk about everything from religion to everything, you know, everything. But yeah, everything. But no, be what you guys did think about, because Afi, it be one lady way. You know, it was all respect from day one.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah. So ladies, they really respect.
You know,
you're this podcast.
You know, say some women, they, you then them go feed talk about fried rice and what the parties and all that. Ooh. But I feel it was more than that. Like then now we go inside. We go inside. And Fred, you know, for me, we can ask all the questions.
Oh no, I did.
And I feel, talking about off the top, right? Stay by Plan was running alongside Off the Top, or you guys had.
It was a little after Joseph. I mean, at the time, nobody knew that he had stopped.
Yeah,
but he said he's on a break.
Yeah,
and Joseph then, is who we spoke to.
Shout out to Joseph.
Shout. So my question was going to be, when you guys started during the days of Corona, right?
Three years
ago. During the, how tough was it running or starting a podcast during those days? Because for us, it was after Corona, right?
Was us after Corona too?
Right
after.
I mean, but you see, with Ghana, I kind of don't understand or don't properly remember after Corona, because the laws were enforced for 3 weeks and we're back to
that's what
normal.
Saying.
So
I mean, it was after. Maybe like a year.
Maybe a year. But even this question is based on how things went up. The spike in stuff, like common stuff, and they just getting into this thing new. Like, how was it like putting this podcast together?
Okay.
Your equipment, the time with crew and all that. How tough was it?
I feel like I need to answer a bit and then Zoo, like,
top up.
So the first thing about the off the top thing, fun facts, I was actually with the Gold Coast Report.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was on Free Your Mind.
Shouts.
Yeah, okay. I was actually on the Free Your Mind podcast when Zoo reached out to me that he wanted. Did you know I was on Free Your Mind then?
I didn't know.
Okay, so that's when Zoo reached out to me that he wanted us to do the podcast. So I had to like tell Donald that, yo, this was happening. My friend's trying to do a podcast. So actually, I did left.
Was he
respectfully
pissed?
Not at all.
Shouts to Donald.
He was actually happy. He was like, oh, if I feel like this is what I want to do. Yeah, so then that's how I moved. So I did have a bit of an idea of like the podcasting space.
Oh, okay.
But with Free Your Mind, Donald and Cyril had everything on lock. So you just show up, sit down, record, and go your way. So with the gadgets and stuff, I didn't know like anything, but I just knew that you need a mic and you need a roadcaster or something.
So Fred, sorry, before you go on. Fine. Basically, Zoo steal Afi from GC.
Yeah, that'd be what he does. That'd be low-key.
It just read them from Death Row to Rockefeller.
Sorry, talk you. Yeah, you're talking.
Yeah, so when it comes to the equipment and stuff, I don't know much, but shout out to Senna Baita. He has a studio, and like he believed in the vision. He supported us like a lot.
Yeah. Senna Baita.
And I think Zoo can like talk more on that. Yeah, Senna Baita.
Is he older? Or is
he's a year older.
Oh, okay. I know a different Baita. They might be related.
But. Selassie Baita?
Senna, there, you know him. Everybody knows him. You know him. Trust
me. Yeah, this guy grew past me, so.
Okay.
Oh, then
but the biters are all related.
Yeah, they are usually very like all related. Yeah.
So, like she said, we went to Senna, and Senna had recently bought like a Rodecaster, mics, and everything because he wanted to start podcasting. He's also into like music production and those things. So, he was stocking up on equipment, I guess. And so we went there, and now he was doing. He has started doing podcasts with other people. So, he would record with other people, and we saw the equipment. Like that's one of the things that kind of birthed the idea for me. I'm like, Charlie, me, my mind, dude, I'll go like use this too. He's like, yeah, let's come, let's make it happen. So when eventually Afi and I started and we went there, Senna used to do the audio editing for us. Mm. We started with just audio for like 10 episodes before we went into video.
Yeah.
Senna used to do the audio editing for us. Senna is a very busy guy, so sometimes it would take a while for it to come. And, you know what I mean? So long story short, eventually by 15 episodes in, I was doing most of the
editing
and the production myself, because I'm someone who like when I do it, I just want to get off my plate because I'm doing other things and I don't want it to
linger and I don't want to be
overwhelmed and everything. So
yeah,
I go fee record today. By the time I get home tonight, I've started editing already because I don't want to waste time. So by 15 episodes in, 20 episodes in, I knew how to do everything.
Yeah,
you know, and again with the equipment, we are buying our own equipment and everything, but shout out to Senna. If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't be able to start.
Is that a new skill set you had to learn? Like editing and all of that?
I already knew how to edit videos.
Okay.
But sound, I had never really done anything with sound. So the sound I had to learn on the job. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So if I don't know if anybody noticed, but some of the earlier episodes you could hear that the sound is like this and the sound is like that. You know. if you know, then you know.
I mean well, maybe you're already inclined like that, but it sounds like a lot to take on doing the podcast and then all of a sudden having to edit. And because if Mutombo left the editing to me, I'm like, you put no go here now.
I can relate.
You need to have like some sort of passion for it.
It's
a lot of work.
It is. And so for us, something there about me, we. It'd be crazy, right? I know how to do so many things. Like, I know how to do so many things. And audio editing or audio work, I learned from friends just by watching and putting one and one together. And it's like Zoo is saying, if you for have passion for them, like, you know, it needs time and also dedication. Because sound is totally different from video, from audio. Like, totally different. Like, anybody will tell you, say, editing video be the same as editing sound. You lie. You know, video, they deal with what you see, sound, what you hear.
Yeah.
And there are some frequencies, you can bring it down, everybody in voice go change.
Charlie.
Right? There are some frequencies you take up, you go hear everything. You know, so it's totally different, right? So I know what Zoo go through.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right now we know what Zoo go through. Afi, what did you go through?
That's a good one. So like, it's like fine. It's like if Zoo has an idea. Zoo is like the creative one, and I'm a little bit like creative but also strategic. So I'll be like, okay, let's do it this way, let's do it that way. So for me, I think when we started, I was handling the social media, like how the story is out on the rollout plan and everything. And then when we started doing the episodes, I was like, oh, it'll be interesting if we start with guests, Because if we have more guests, more people would want to watch. So I started to look at like which people we could speak to, what kind of topics. So basically just building the structure of what the podcast should look like and then telling the story on social media was my job.
Wild, wild. Very good.
So after you were like frolicking from different places creatively. Model here, some other podcasts there. What was the... Was there a plan behind it, or was it something that you were just hobbying, or like...
Which one? Like everything?
Before even Zoo, like, asked you guys, had like a presence on a different podcast, you had done some other things creatively. I'm just trying to understand what your, like, what your makeup is. Are you, were you like feeling like you wanted to be in the media space, or you're an artist, or what was driving you into the spaces that you found?
So, that's a very good question. I feel like, so my Instagram was, I know it's very random way to answer, but like my Instagram used to be private. Okay. And one of my best friends was like, the stuff you do is so interesting. Like you should go public. This was in 2013. Okay. So I just went public on my Instagram.
You did inside of
me. Watch your papa. I thought you were Gen Z.
I am. Ish. So yeah, like when she said that and I actually went public, I saw that people actually liked my stuff. Like people liked me, they just felt like I was. People always come into my DM like, you're so fun and you're so free and you're so like, you're so much of yourself, and it's like fun to watch. So that was when I started to actively like be in that space. And then once you are posting stuff on Instagram, someone's like, oh, can you come and model for me? And I'm like, okay, sure. And then I would do that. Yes, they were. Oh. Some were paid, some were not. Some of them you get free clothes in the
stage. I mean, so long as they gave something.
Yeah, and that was like level 100. So like, like level 100. So that was like fun for me. So I wouldn't say I've always had like a plan. I think it just popped up on me. Even with Free Your Mind, Donald sent me a message that like, this is what we are doing. Like, would you like to do it? And I'm like, sure. Off the top, Joseph texted me. Like, I've never actively really like gone to say, oh, please, can you put me on your show? Please. People just...
Or created like a strategy for, I'm going to be in this space.
No, I never really... did that. But when me and Zoo started working on the podcast, that's when I was like, okay, now this is serious. And once it's my responsibility, this one, nobody has called me to come and do it. Yeah. I have to like be more serious about it. And personally for my brand, I think I just use creativity to like relax. It rather makes me chill because I have a 9-to-5 job that I do religiously. Mm. And then the creative is like my escape from working. So that's just like the balance that I have.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. How about you? But I know you said you were creative and all, but this podcast, because you mentioned that you saw people podcasting and you're like, oh, this thing I go fit do. But usually I'm thinking, like, okay, I'll give you an example. Mutombo and I, similar story to yours. I wanted to do a podcast, but I realized quickly I can't do it on my I didn't want to do it on my own.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to deal with the technicalities. I tried to upload something on YouTube, it was a nightmare. Editing and all that nonsense. I wasn't about that life.
Yeah.
Then I also realized that for me personally, the kind of things I wanted to kind of focus on, I didn't want to be in an echo chamber. Because sometimes you're hearing your own voice. And it's not that I'm looking to be argumentative or debate or anything, but I want to test my ideas and my thoughts against what everybody else thinks and to think through them clearly to make sure that what I'm thinking is not based on my ego, right? So then Mutombo approached me. We've been friends since, like, you know, kids. We're kids, but we lost touch at some point. So our only interaction was social media. But when Mutombo came, it was a no-brainer. Because I knew that, okay, all the things that... All I had to do was show up and talk.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, like, what drove me into this space. Because I felt like I had a lot to say. All that to say that I wanted to know a little bit more beyond, oh, I can do podcasting. What was... Yeah. The driving factor behind you wanting to?
So my whole life I've been a creative person as far back as I can remember, you know, drawing, painting, even photography. I started earlier than most people, you know. And my dad had this film camera and he used to take pictures of us, take pictures of random, like he really enjoyed photography. And so I would just watch, like, those times was expensive, I'm not really allowed to use it like that. Yeah. But I didn't watch, I'm like, hey, Charlie, if I get, I will cut pictures too, you know. So those were like the births of the creative seed for me. But at the same time, even though my dad is a creative person, he's like an academic person. You know what I mean? Like, nah, if I do this, and my people wanted me to be like an intellectual. So for example, my sister is a doctor. Like that's the kind of life that they really want for you. But at the same time, you're allowed to explore these other things. So for me, the creativity was always like the thing I enjoyed the most, but I was programmed to know that it's on the side.
Right.
So when I kind of, so I used to have a job, even the job was kind of creative, because I was working in media. When I left that job to like fully go into the creative space, like as if I've killed somebody, like hey, this boy, it's a rebel. Meanwhile, my sister is in med school, A's. And
she's older or younger?
She's younger than me.
Oh, wow.
You know, so it's a bit weird when they're like sort of comparing you to your sibling, but then she's younger than you, you know what I mean? But yeah, so me, my creative journey has been, I want to say, up and down, because it was even a point where I kind of cut this off completely to focus on, I wanted to be an engineer, or I thought I was supposed to be an engineer. Focus completely on engineering, like learning how to do this, physics, what. When I finished high school, the uni I wanted to go to, I couldn't go, so I ended up probably going. They didn't give me engineering. I said, thank God. I ended up doing psychology.
Okay.
And then from there, that's when I started like really getting into my creativity and everything. So like you were saying, you just want to come and talk. But being a creative, I feel like ideally that's what I would do. But being a creative in Ghana, you have to know how to do everything.
Yeah.
You have to do it yourself. And so I had to learn all these technical bits. And fortunately for me, I enjoyed them. So photography, you take the pictures. Like in other places, you can literally do a shoot. Let's say in America or something, do a shoot, and you may not edit the pictures. You're just coming to take the pictures. You're shooting a film, you shoot and you're done. You go.
Someone else is going to take over.
But here, most of the time, you're doing everything yourself.
Yeah.
So you had to like learn the front, the back, and everything. And I feel you're speaking that creativity is like an escape and everything. I think she's also someone who could have been a creative full time, because she's actually very creative. She doesn't, it's like she doesn't want to, you know, claim it's like that, but she's one of the most creative people I've met. And I've met a lot of creative people. She has really good ideas. So I think that's another way we work all together. We are both very creative, but she has more of the structure. I'm more like, you know, I think because of the kind of academic restraints I had growing up, I'm a free thinker, but at the same time, it's structured. Like, I know when I'm thinking too far.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, I think we have that balance, yeah.
Yeah. Fred, you go.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just... Are you intentionally not being a bully today?
No. He hasn't said anything.
There's no opportunity
like,
yet.
We're having a serious conversation.
The thing is, she thinks that half of the time I'm lying.
Yeah.
So when she thinks I'm lying, that's when she starts doing her thing.
Yeah, but you know this I mean? Is like a serious comment. I'm not a bully all the time. And you know, Zoo is the one who is editing, right? So he has control of the narrative. He can decide to snip the 2 seconds that I was being a bully.
I'm actually just using it as an ongoing joke. Yeah. When I watched, I didn't feel like there was anything that was over the top that needed to be noted. You know, it's a good chemistry.
Thank you so much.
So you said you have a day job.
Yeah.
Do you mind talking about it a little bit?
Yeah, I can talk about it, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm a product development technician in a company that works with synthetic fiber for women's hair.
Okay.
Weave. Yeah, basically weaves, yeah. But not weaves, more of like the braids, what the girls used to braid. Yeah, I work for the company that does the raw material. So my job is product development and technical service. So I have to visit like our partners in different countries with factories, advise them on if they are like trying to process it and they have an issue.
Okay.
So the example I always use is like I work for a milk factory, but then they use our milk to make ice cream. Mm. So it's my duty to ensure that anybody who is using our milk knows how to make the ice cream well, because if they make it badly, it would come back to us.
Right.
Yeah, so that's what my job is basically.
Interesting.
And research as well, a lot of research.
Mm. Is that a science background?
I think you'd need a bit of science background, but more of like a statistics, like a research background. You should know how to follow the process of research. Yeah.
Okay, so this is still a STEM.
Okay. Yes, STEM. Kind of ish. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So me if the weave parts, me
you won't focus. I get plenty of questions. I won't miss them.
I mean, just a follow up on your question. So me, if you go on my timeline, like way back, I used to bash people who would wear weaves, especially here in Ghana, where Charlie, like, you know, it's...
What was your reason? What was your reason for bashing them?
So me, I've always been a guy who loves natural stuff. Looking at me now, like, I don't really care. And people have told me that, like, the weave is even easier to take care of than when you have the natural hair. So I'm like, okay, cool. I feel it's quite surprising that you are doing this.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know. For some, it's not with the weaves. Like, I thought, like Zoo said, I thought you would be managing some ad agency or something along those lines. Yeah. Am I giving off the right, you know, vibe? Like, am I right?
Yeah, I guess so. But I think, so for this job, I didn't really even know much about it when I was applying for it. I got it immediately after COVID. I was working somewhere else that wasn't too good, and I was looking for another job. Charlie, man for it.
Yeah.
So my cousin recommended it to me, and then I didn't even know the context, but I saw research in there, and I've always loved, like, stats. So I just went in for the research. I went in for the interview, and to be honest, I think one of the main things that is keeping me there is the fact that it's a Japanese company. So just the systems and then the kind of, like, things that they teach you how to go about things
is dope.
It's really crazy.
Yeah. It's like a proper company.
Yeah. It's like a proper company, and there's, like, structure there, and you're working hard, you're seeing, like, progress and stuff. So, and also, I'm someone who likes data science and data analytics, and they're allowing me to apply it there as well. So it's sort of like, I agree with you that I should probably be doing something more creative. But there's just this nerdy part of me that cannot see. I think it's like our parents, like, our parents always want you to be academic. And I think they really got into my brain with that. So I find it difficult to become, like, 100% creative.
Before Zoo comes in with the same answer, can you tell us a little bit about your mom and dad?
What about them?
like are they engineers? Are they into the arts? Like, what do they
do? No, so my dad was a director at the prison service. So people are always, I need to do that trend that people say I'm scared of my dad.
He directs where the prisoners go. You know, full maximum security. Very good point. Wow.
Yeah.
Director at the prisons.
Yes. That's what he used to do. It's so funny. Like, people are, whenever I say this, people are scared. But you come to my house, you can ask Zoo. Like, my father is so chill. Like,
do you have stories from jail, from, like, prison? Has he shared any story? Today, someone came to the cells and he,
okay, you know. So my dad was working as a director of the prison offices. So he wasn't really, like,
going there.
Like, maybe if he's going for inspection or something. Yeah. So the only thing he ever did was to take me and my sisters to Buster home. They're like, if you fool, this be where you go land. Wow. That's what he did. So,
wow.
Yeah, that was kind of, like, it was scary. Yeah, because they are actually kids there.
Because my mom would also tell me the same thing. That if I fool.
Yeah, so it's physical.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, so it's physical.
And your mom?
My mom was a flight attendant.
Oh, wow.
Ghana Airways.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
They're now defunct.
Yeah.
I'm still salty about it.
So wait, did your mom go to some other airline?
No. After
it's so strange, right? Most of the people who were sacked from Ghana Airways never ended up in other, you know, airlines. I wonder why.
I think it's because of how sudden it was. Like, none of them saw it coming. None of them saw it coming.
Rhyme. Capping. Coming and happened. Point. Capping. Coming and happened. Join them.
None of them saw it coming. So, like, it just over them.
Yeah.
And I think, especially for my mom, like, unfortunately for her, I think she had worked there for more than 20 years. So she had already reached, you know, like, flight attendants is like modeling. Like, when you are some age, nobody could take you again.
Yeah,
so most of them had worked with the airline for so many years. No other airline is going to take you unless you're a pilot. Then that one day, of course, Goofy gets a new job. Yeah. So I think that was, like, one of the main things for most of them. Yeah.
Because around where I live, there were many of the people who worked with Ghana Airways. And I never saw any work with any other airline. Back in the day, it wasn't that common.
It wasn't that easy.
It was just, you know, KLM and British Airways or something.
It would be hard to pivot from Ghana Airways, basically, because we didn't have any other prominent airlines in the country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you would have to go to a foreign airline, most likely.
Yeah.
Which would make it.
Charlie, so many of the things that people see on screen is different from what goes on, like, at the back.
Yeah.
When it comes to sets, like from filming to podcasts and all that. Zu, before you mention, tell us a little bit about your mom and dad. Have you gone like shit after a recording before? Have you gone like shit? This didn't go as planned. Shit, child, what did we just do? Like, you know, has there ever been that moment?
I'm trying to think of like a major one, but sometimes you kind of have that feeling more. If anything, it's more like the conversation didn't go like you expected. Like, you have some guests who, I don't know if you guys have had it, but you have some guests who, like, then they talk. Like, it's supposed to be a conversation. It's supposed to be a back and forth.
One time.
One time.
That's about the one time.
Yeah.
I mean, you know which one. It's the only one that I think you and I both simultaneously felt there was, it was long.
Yeah. It was just long.
Okay, you are after.
Yeah.
After,
So, yeah, those, I feel like for me, I don't know if you have anything in memory, but for me, most of the time, it's like, Charlie, I thought we were going to have a great conversation, and we just came and listened to this person talk. And you're trying to cut them, but they know they allow you.
Yeah.
You know, really?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think we've experienced that.
No.
Yeah, we haven't experienced that.
Yeah, and because it's like on screen everything, you don't want to just like, hey, it's okay, stop talking.
But right now, the way catch a good
for them.
Right now, the way catch a good one.
Yeah.
I say, bro, relax. We talk while actually relax. This be our podcast.
Yeah.
Because I think sometimes some people have so much they want. It's not that even they have so much. It might be nothing, but they just all of a sudden love the sound of their own
voice.
That's
the thing. When it's nothing,
they just want to keep going.
Yeah. It's just words.
Yeah.
It happens sometimes. Has there ever been a moment where, you know, you've gone like, Charlie, this thing.
I think it's the same with Zoo. Yeah. It's always about like the content. Like, why was that episode so shallow? Or maybe when we are done, it was a good episode, but I'll go home and I'll be like, we could have asked this person this.
That one,
okay, so...
No, let your parents.
So my dad, so both of them are retired now. My dad was a teacher. He still teaches though, like teachers never want to stop. So he was a teacher, he was a physics teacher. You know, very like smart man. My mom worked in a bank, you know, like on the management level. So they were very
Ghana Commercial Bank.
No, it's a private bank.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank God. Wasn't that. So yeah, they were very structured. You know, banks are very structured. Schools are very structured. So they have a structure and everything. So me, who's kind of outside of that line, you know, sometimes it's kind of hard for them to understand me. But they did their best. Because my dad is a teacher as well.
Yeah.
Being a teacher, you interact with so many different people, kids, and even your colleagues. So he was very understanding of me and my sister growing up. He gave us space to, you know, explore and everything. But like I said earlier, at the end of the day, you know, say you forgo to school and you have to come back with a certain level of, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, do you think part of that is about security? They are worried about your future.
100%.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Definitely.
We were talking about how conversations go and you should have asked somebody something.
Yeah.
And this is percolating in my head, so I want to go back to Afi.
Yeah, okay.
And I'll come to you. So when you guys go to the weave topic, and when Mutombo said he's surprised that this is what you're doing, I thought he was referring to his deep conversations with you somewhere that you of all people are working with weaves. No, that's not what he was saying. He was saying something else. I want to ask a different question about weaves because I just... You know how when you're scrolling through social media, these things pop up?
Yeah.
And there's a conversation that was going on about this podcaster who was having a very aggressive back and forth with a lady who wears weaves. And Mutombo has expressed how he loves natural hair.
Yeah.
Most black men that I know tend to say they love natural hair.
Mm. Oh, then we na abi Talib Kweli Moonsdef.
Yeah.
Now, yeah.
Now, you know the biz. But I think we had Dr. Yabable here too. And I expressed a similar viewpoint about liking natural hair. Anyways, like she said, we shouldn't express our opinion to women because it's kind of, I don't agree. whatever. Right. So I'm asking, long-winded question.
It's fine.
I'm asking because I want to know your viewpoint as a woman with weave, because I know a lot of times, for me, that conversation I saw on my social media was basically about the lady saying it was convenient, it was easy to manage, and it was presentable.
Mm.
Now, convenient, I don't have a problem with. Manageable, I don't have a problem with. Presentable is where I kind of paused and I was like, I don't know about... Because I think hair is hair.
Yeah.
The world is too fussy sometimes. We worry about the wrong things.
Yeah.
His hair, I love the way Zeus' hair is. I think he should be able to work any place he wants.
Exactly.
You know, the way we are wearing our hair.
Yeah.
So is the presentable that I'm focused in on. How much do you think the weave industry is affecting black women in their sense of self-worth?
Hey.
Deep. I love it.
Can you ask me this off?
No. Answer.
Okay, so...
Give it your most... Candid, diplomatic.
No, I'll be honest. The presentable is sad because it's a painful truth. Especially in Ghana, I think we all see it every day in every single thing. You go to the workplace, you cannot wear an African print like it's almost weird for you to be wearing like a bubu to the office. Like, why are you wearing a bubu to the office, right?
Going to dance like
yeah. It's only like maybe Fridays that everybody's wearing like African print. Yeah. There's already some sort of systems that have been put in place. And if you have natural hair in an average Ghanaian, like a regular African Ghanaian workspace, and you haven't twisted it or you haven't gelled it down to make it look some sort of way, they'll call you out that you are looking messy, you are looking unkempt. Like, especially with the abdu. You know, some of us do like a natural hair abdu.
Mm-hmm.
I used to have natural hair. But unfortunately, I've permed my hair now because when I had natural hair, I had like low porosity, like high shrinkage hair. So yes, me doing a puff or doing a flat, it was difficult for me. So I'm trying to see. And if I leave my hair like this, then no go green.
Okay.
So it becomes stressful. You are forcing me to change the way my hair looks because it doesn't fit your understanding of what a woman should look like presentably in the office.
Right.
Yeah. So then as that has become a thing. Like, it almost makes more sense to just put your hair in cornrows and then just wear the wig up and go to work. Because that one, nobody go fit tell you anything. That one, you are free. So it's the unfortunate truth. But then, like, I agree with you. I don't think it should define a woman's beauty. I feel like if I want to wear it, I should be able to wear it. If I don't want to wear it, it shouldn't be a problem.
Mm.
But we are being forced to wear it, especially in the...
corporate space.
Yeah. Corporate space.
Got it.
Yeah. Charlie, Charlie.
Yeah, we
the bag. No. We don't want any matter.
My company will come exactly.
Yeah.
Charlie,
the company will be like, hey, you're slowing down marketing.
You're slowing down marketing.
So one thing that I've noticed is how they are all using
matches.
You know, they have their phone cases. You know, in the same color.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I wanted to ask, like, how have you guys influenced each other? Now you guys are working close. You guys are very, very close, you know, especially from our screen. You know, I see guys in spaces too and doing other things. You guys are very, very close. What have you tapped? What have you tapped from Zoo? And Zoo, what have you tapped from Afi? Zoo first.
Me first, okay.
Yeah, let's go first.
This word tap they use. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, no tap.
No, but let's see. I think that for me, the main thing, so even when we're starting the podcast, I think from the time I reached out to her, it was like 2 weeks later that we did our first recording. If it was up to me, like we could record like 3 months, 4 months later. You know, I'm someone who, I want to take my time. I want to make sure everything is perfect. You know, I was that type of person. I was, at the time we started the podcast, I was sort of in transition. I think now I'm really getting to that point where I'm like, Charlie, if I want to start, Saturdays, boom, just let's go. But the energy that she came with when I asked her to do it, and then we started like 2 weeks after, I was like, oh, yo, okay. So that's something I really picked up from her.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, if you want to do it, like, boom, let's go. Like, let's, what are we waiting for, you know?
Yeah. Afi?
What did I pick up from Zoo?
Mm-hmm. I want a long list. So start.
Let me start with the phone case. First of all, Zoo had a green phone case and I copied him. And yeah. He's upset. He told me to change it, but I will not change it.
It's a different hue, though. So.
Right? But sometimes we think that we've taken each other's phones home or we've left each other's phones here. So for me, I think what I've learned from Zoo is, I think it's balance. That's it's actually really cute. I think for me, I'm very fiery, like, let's move, let's go. But I like how Zoo is very calm and collected and he's not as impulsive. And especially for me, I think I have empathy, but I'm a little bit too candid. So sometimes I come off as not empathetic.
Yeah.
But I've learned like how to be more empathetic from Zoo and I'm still learning. Like sometimes I don't understand. I even say that it's like one of my weaknesses. Like when I see that somebody has the potential to do something and they are not doing it, they vex me. Yeah. So me, I go fit talk to you anyhow. They're like, bro, you are not serious. Like you are not, like I'll tell you because I can see where you could land, right? But Zoo has always been talking to me, like letting me understand how to deal with people, how to be more slow to action. And I think it's very important because as a human being, you cannot just be rash, always a by heart person. So that's one thing I really like appreciate. Like,
so you guys, you go feel ask we anything too. So
Yeah, we go.
I mean, I love that you've picked up something from each other, but more curious about this idea of he's calm and collected. So Zoo, you're calm because you process things maybe at a different pace.
Yeah.
And you're like, Charlie, let's be on it.
Yeah.
Do you guys think that even though there's an influence, do you also make a conscious effort to remain those people that you are to it more of that degree than less of it? Because I think and I'm asking you so you can tell me what I think that is very necessary also.
Yeah.
Because sometimes people, creatives, I've noticed we can be slow to action because it's like we're looking for that perfection that's never going to come.
Yeah.
And also, I think, to be very honest, I think for creatives, that drag sometimes is also fear.
Mm.
To really get on it like challenge.
Big facts, yeah.
And they expect it could be all so everything be correct. And then I don't see. But if someone like you comes in, like my friend,
yeah,
and it's somebody that you respect, I think it's very necessary to have one or two people like that in your life. Mm-hmm. Especially that one person who you have a high level of respect for, who can make you get on your feet and be like, Charlie, I don't want to disappoint, you know, Afi. And Afi also having that thing where it's like, Charlie, Zulu be some baller guy. Like, if it is taking time, maybe there's a rhyme to the reason. So let's pause small. But 100%. When you realize it's becoming a drag, you might kick in. I'm just trying to understand if you guys are aware of that and if you
I think so.
To.
You are speaking to them like you are a daddy.
Like I interrupt.
like as my mother would say, my child should be 20 right now.
Like you're a daddy. Chai, so for like this podcast, right? One of the things that we struggle with is finding topics, finding things we want to discuss, you know, with guests. It's a struggle. So what tips would you give us?
Okay.
How do you go by the topics that you guys decide to, you know,
talk
about with guests?
Yeah. Okay, so I think I want to go with what you asked first. I think we are very much aware and I'm very much aware about it. So it's just like a balance. Like we don't want to be at the extreme ends of both. Mm-hmm. We just shift just a little bit. But I do not want to be Zoo and I don't expect Zoo to become me. Awesome. And also with respect to the episodes, this is something that I always do like before we start the season. This season we didn't do it and it was shaky. So that I knew that now I need. So before we start, this is like my major, no gatekeeping. Like I would do an actual presentation, like stay by plan season 4. What are we trying to achieve this year? What did we achieve last year? What are we changing? Who do we want to speak to? What kind of conversations are we trying to have? I have actually segregated the episodes the episodes per season, like maybe 30% people in entertainment, 20% regular people, 10% this. And then maybe in the next season, I'm like, you know what? We are shifting it. We are not talking to popular people this season, more of this. So we have that structure. We don't follow it 100%. But before we start the season, we know who we are going to talk to. And we know what we want to talk to, like, with them. Mm-hmm. And then we become a little bit slow with this. But we used to write questions before the episode. If we are talking to Mutombo, we will go and do background checks on you and write all the questions and read through it. Yeah. But we don't use it like look and check. It's just like we just
like
check
a guide.
Exactly. So I think that was very helpful for us. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you go, if you watch some episode where you guys just talk about just one thing with a person, and you're like, yo, we could have had like five or six different things.
I feel that's been us on a couple of episodes, especially the first ones. When we started recording like proper videos, I think the first one with Debbie, Sister Deborah, I always go back and I go like, for Sister Deborah, we should have touched on so many topics, but the LGBTQ, you know, it took like over half. Exactly. You know, yeah. So yeah, that is dope, and it doesn't feel like it when I am watching the podcast, right? It doesn't feel like it, because maybe, like you said, you guys use it as a guide and you go with the flow.
Yeah.
But Zoo, I don't know, have you ever been stuck?
Yeah, actually, sometimes I'm stuck. Like some guests, you talk to some guests and you have your guide, but they are boring. If the guest is boring and you didn't write that many questions, or your guide is not that long, you see, like, 20 minutes in, like, we've answered all the questions. Most of the time, if it's a conversation, you may say something and then I'll lead off of that and we'll go in a different direction with the conversation.
Yes.
By you, this guest. Like, let's say I'll ask you, okay, what's your favorite food?
Banku and okro.
Finish.
But maybe someone who's more conversational will say, oh yeah, my mom used to make it. I like the way my mom makes it. Then we'll start talking about your mom and that type of thing. So you can have a guide, and before you know, like, you want the episodes to be, let's say, maybe around an hour. By 20 minutes, I've finished, like,
everything.
Sometimes I even see Afitu is a little stuck. So we'll be looking at each other like, Charlie.
This guy also.
And for someone to get me stuck, that's serious. Because I always have something to ask.
So how do you select your guests then? Because, like, do you have... Okay, let's say we are going to talk about love in season 4.
Mm. Right.
And you know, like, 4 or 5 people who are lovers, who are, you know, in the church, like someone who is a divorcee or whatever, you know, how do you pick? Maybe you know 4 divorcees. Do you go like, okay, this guy looks like someone who will talk, or this guy goes, or do you check their cred to, like, pick?
It's everything. Mm. If I meet you and we have a conversation, you're not really talking. When it's time for the episode, I'm not going to call you. Because if you can't talk like this one-on-one, when there's a light and a camera...
It changes. It'll be worse.
It's even worse.
Yeah.
So typically, you want to pick people who are comfortable. I mean, you may not know, because some people are not... You've not seen them in front of a camera, so you don't know. But people who are free to talk, who are able to express themselves. Because you don't want to be talking to somebody and it's like, Charlie, I don't want to feel like I'm trying.
Yeah.
I want the conversation to flow. I want you to, like, let's bounce off each other. And some people, you meet them, it's like just looking at you from the outside, you would be a perfect guest.
Yeah.
But after speaking to you, I don't think we can have a conversation on the podcast. Mm. That happens sometimes. Mm. Yeah.
Go. Afi, go ahead.
Oh, I agree with my co-host. Exactly that.
Tag team.
Exactly that.
I was going to say that I think maybe we've been a bit lucky in that sense, because we've had guests who have actually felt so comfortable that they've called Mutombo back to edit some things because they went in on some personal things and they were uncomfortable. Yeah. I get upset when that happens.
Oh my God.
Because I feel like, Charlie Massa, you know, you talk the thing you talk. But from a conversation standpoint, I want to pick, because Mutombo is more, I think, well, we both started talking about structure. And what I'm picking from Afi is pre-season, having some sort of guide, because I think for me personally, what I've been, the void I've been feeling, if anything at all, is I felt like the first 2 seasons were more, I never thought I wanted to just be talking to popular people.
Yeah.
Celebrities and all of that. I mean, it's cool and all, but I also felt like some of our regular guys brought some of the best conversations.
100%.
Regular people. And so I'm trying to see how I can be supportive to our podcast. Mutombo carries a lot of the weight in terms of the background stuff. So I'm thinking through, like, which guest can we have that we can discuss life with?
Yeah.
Because I'm struggling between, you know, just because you're a celebrity doesn't mean you have something worthwhile to discuss.
100%. Yeah.
So I've picked from you that maybe before the season starts, you can have some structure about, I love what she said about 30% is going to be about this, and then maybe 40% is going to be about celebrities.
Yeah.
But then we want to also bring regular people, putting it down. And then when it comes down to the set, so maybe I think what will help Mutombo and I is in terms of structure.
Yeah.
If we are able to predetermine what kind of season we want to have in terms of subject matter,
yeah,
then we can go in based on our guests that, okay, when Afi and Zoo are here, we're going to talk about podcasting, but I also want to talk about maybe the era in which they grew up, dating in their social circles, what's happening in the community, blah, blah, blah. We can take your different angles.
I was actually coming to those things. After.
Exactly.
Have you guys ever had like a regular person, though? Like someone who...
Oh, plenty.
Most of our guests are you know, it's quite recently that, you know, we are getting some requests.
But
we actually... I personally enjoy speaking to regular people. But because I am in the arts, and I know so many of these like well-known people. Personally, I feel I know who has a story to tell.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like if you watch the podcast, almost all the people who have been here, I know them, and I pick them because aside from them being popular or famous or a celeb, I know them personally, and I know that not personally per se, but I know them, and I know that they have
A story to tell.
Podcasting in Ghana is difficult. There are days that I wake up and I go like, oh shit. But Charlie, we have invested our time, to quit. Several times I've gone like, Charlie, why are we doing this? What are we doing? Like, what are we doing? And, you know, people start podcast elsewhere. 5 years, 3 years, they are making money. Like people, like, the climate here is different from, especially in the States and all that. Afi, I knew you before you started, you know, podcasting.
Yeah.
With what you were doing and even with the number of followers that, you know, it should have been very, very easy.
Yeah.
Right. Have you caught your first break yet? And if you haven't gotten your first break, and first break I mean a big deal, like someone put something on you know the table. If you are yet to get that, how do you fuel yourselves? And by fuel, I'm talking about the vim, I'm talking about the money, I'm talking about, you know, how do you guys do
this? Oh, that goes into
it. Yeah.
Let's do answer.
So, I don't know how to figure it out.
No, because it's deep and personal. And I just want you to talk.
No, so, okay, so first of all, we have had, like, some deals come on the table. We've had some brands working with us, and you know,
We want some more though.
But yeah, we've had some brands come along. They've really helped us. You know, we've done our events and everything. Worked with a lot of brands. Some of them are really big brands as well. So, but that's the thing. Brands they come and go. There's times of the year where it's like, hey, Charlie, why have they forgotten about us? Like, where's everybody? But then everybody seems to come around the same time. Let's say getting towards Christmas, or you know. So there's times where Charlie, I'll wake up and I'm like, Charlie, because me personally, like especially just 2024, I'm betting a lot on what we do. Like I'm really putting myself into this because I feel like there's a lot of potential and I want to maximize the potential. I don't want to be the guy who look back and say, Charlie, if you had done it like this, it's like Charlie, like go make a more.
You know, what
I mean? Like a few years later, I want to try now. If it don't happen, it didn't happen. I don't want to be like, hey, what if? Do you know what I mean? So this year I'm trying to like make sure or do my best to make sure that we, you know, reach where we're supposed to reach. So there's times definitely where I wake up and I'm like, bro, why am I doing? Because I can be doing other things and making a lot of money. But like, I'm really passionate about it. I love what I do, what we do. And so I'm trying to like maximize it. So yeah, definitely there's times I wake up and I'm like, what's this? Like, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
often, bro. Often, like yeah. really, Charlie. Every week, once yeah. a week, I'll wake up like, Charlie, I did a bend inside. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. 100%. And to add to what Zoo is saying, I think, like you are saying, with the kind of work we've put in, if we're somewhere else, we'll be doing so much better. We'll have like way more deals. And I think the respect for podcasting in Ghana is now growing. So maybe that's why like we just did Chestam. Especially because even the brands, like some of them may not necessarily understand the value. So the kind of money them go talk, you go vex. Like, because they just say, but say you're just sitting in front of the camera and talking. But all the little things that go into it and all the details, they don't know. So it does get tough. And then also, I think for Stay By Plants, we've reached a point where, yeah, we are making money, but then if somebody's even coming on the team, the kind of energy that they will come with is I want to help, but...
What's up?
What's up? Like, how much are you paying me for this? Yeah. And then the kind of money that they are talking...
Hey, so relax, you know?
It's like, doesn't mean that if we don't get any brand deal or we don't get a specific amount of money from YouTube, like, we don't go pay this person. Like, so we are at that point where it's like we are trying to... We have gotten some good breaks, but there's that point that we need to like push through, and it's definitely like really tough. And I think the podcasting space, we need to be more like one, like we need to come together more, because imagine we are like all me, you, Sincerely Accra, we all have some sort of collaboration, and if one brand comes, you say, you know what, if you are giving us this amount, just maybe triple it, and you can get an ad on all these podcasts, and then we all share the money. I feel like we will probably get more brands. It's like everybody's.
Josephine T from Sincerely Accra. Give us a little bit of info about their big break.
Yeah.
It was from Spotify, right? Yeah. And I saw the amount somewhere online.
Yeah.
Some time back, I can't remember now. What or who has given you guys your big break?
Like brand wise,
Was it like the Spotify's, Apple's, or it was a local brand?
I feel like it's double this thing.
It's you can't really say one.
You can't really. Okay,
like, yeah,
so
yours
yeah.
But funny enough, when they got their grants, Sincerely Accra, a lot of people thought we got some.
Yeah.
I said, hey, the dollars, I mean, I didn't get some.
Yeah.
So Joseph, that money, you have to give us some, because people think we have money.
So just give us some and it'll be free. Yeah. And I think YouTube has really helped in Stay By Plan. I think even though they haven't brought us like physical cash yet, I know you guys will bring it. They have supported us with visibility. And
it's crazy.
Yeah. And when they came to Ghana, it was two years ago.
They came to Ghana
2 years ago. Like, they believed in us. Like, we had just started, but they invited us for one of their events. We got connected to more creatives. I think that really helped us as well. Give us some sort of, like, I don't know, oomph. Like, it really helped. So I think YouTube has supported us a lot. And that's like one company that I can say that, like, YouTube try for us. Well, I like them shout try. Shout out YouTube.
I think I want to ask you guys something and then say something. That's what I'm always doing. Before we segue into a different conversation. Personally, my hope is that that big break comes and it gets the reach and all of that, but I kind of also tune my mind in a way that I'm trying to make sure between Mutombo and I, the purpose of the podcast is never lost. So that if it means keeping it alive, that we're not battered by it, but the financing of it, because we have people that I think are just relying, relying is a stretch, but they are into it. They love the information that's coming through. Your platform is sharing things that, you know, I'm sure is impacting people.
Exactly.
And I think it's a different type of voice. Young people of my generation coming down to your generation, I think there's a lot of us that have a different worldview, and it can be extremely impactful. So in terms of value, I don't necessarily quantify everything down to the dollars, even though the dollars is very important. And I always say subscribe and whatnot, but if I'm being 100% honest, the real reason why I felt like I could do this with Mutombo is that I was sick and tired of my social media handles and speaking on, in like, what you call it, secuted or bite-sized thought processes.
Yeah.
I take time to process what I'm trying to say. I have a lot to say, but it's within a certain context.
Mm.
And the kind of people I wanted to reach were no longer my peers necessarily, because we can't influence your peers.
Yeah.
But I see a vision and I'm like, young people, when I was young, I wanted certain information. I wanted to see somebody who's my age now in a certain position, who's still not uptight, hey, shut up when adults are talking. I could talk to a two-year-old and I wouldn't care about my age.
Yeah.
So I feel like this platform is allowing us, all of us, to reach people that maybe 5, 10 years, 15 years from now, the joy we would get from the impact would be significantly more, if anything at all. And I love that you said it. I would pray that we form an industry. It is an intentional, deliberate act. It's not just going to happen. It's not going to be, oh, yeah, we are not an industry until we collate and we put in some ground rules to say, if you're going to deal with Ghana podcasters, these are the terms and conditions. And we all have an agreement to say, you know what? If you go to stay by plan, then no cities be the rate. If you go, if more or less divide, if you go to Josephine T's platform or GCR, wherever, we all have a solid integrity-based agreement to say that this is how you have to respect us, deal with us, and maybe that will be more potent in propelling us forward. Pesemim Kuminya in this country is too much.
Yeah, 100%.
I've talked about it. Mutombo mentioned it. But I feel like, you know, a rising tide, all of us will rise according to the things that we're doing.
Yeah.
But if we don't have that structure, that concerted effort, and that deliberate conversation, then maybe our efforts will fall on them. Because the brands, there, they be a shawu.
Yeah.
You know, the same body will come chip you something small. Then this, but that's not what I'm relying on. I'm relying on the idea that our voices become so powerful, you cannot ignore us.
Yeah.
And you no longer want to go to GTV or whoever. You want to come and talk to us because the voice of the youth, the ears of the youth, is within the podcasters.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's a question, but that's what I wanted to say towards that idea of money making.
Yeah. Talking about money making and big breaks, which guest came on the podcast and like which guest made you go like, this is it, this is a hit, even before it came out, and did your instinct serve you right?
Which one is it for you?
I mean, actually, I think the first one was Joey B. We had, by that, at that point, we had already spoken to Kojo Q. We had spoken to Papi Kojo. But Joey B, okay, this one I didn't know before, but once we finished halfway through the recording, I'm like, bro, this episode is it.
Yeah.
It was funny.
Yeah.
I knew that people would love people. Up to now, people tell me that that's their favorite episode. So I knew that was going to be a hit. But as for the one that, when we got the text that this guy said he wants to come, I said, what?
Sakode?
What?
Wow.
He wants to come and sit on our dirty couch and do podcasts with us. How do you know us?
Yeah.
Bro, for me, that was, it validated everything that we had done to that point, like all the hard work we put in. And he was very kind, very supportive, like told us, oh, bro, I really respect him so much, man. Like that was a great day for me.
Shouts to Sak. Shouts to Sak.
King Sak.
Yeah.
Zoo, I just remembered like the night before I texted Zoo that, oh, so how could he really come? But if he doesn't come, I'll not be angry.
It was too good to be true.
I said, if he doesn't come, I'll not be angry. It's okay.
Yeah.
So when we got to the studio, I was like, hey, Charlie, will he really come? Like, I couldn't believe. I was like, ah, so how could he come? Like, ah.
I have to check that episode out.
It was a good one. And then also Nana Mama McBrown, I feel like that was a very big.
Because no, she doesn't do interviews.
Yeah.
So, like, it's them ones where you're sitting there, I'm looking at her like, is she really here?
Yeah, it's real.
Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah,
but I think the podcast space would allow certain people who don't do interviews to feel comfortable enough.
Because
there's no pretense, there's no agenda.
Yeah,
there's no, you know, necessarily there that you're trying to put them in a bad way. But the industry that they're in radio is contaminated. They have their own internal beefs and issues there, so they might not want to do this or might not.
And it's
want
in
to
real
that.
Time most of the time, yeah, so it's like so, you can't even take it back.
Yeah. Fred, for you, which episode made you go like that, Charlie? This
one is going to be a hit.
Yeah.
It was going to sound very cliche, and I know you're going to fight me about it, but it's the truth. Mm-hmm. Every time we talk to people, I feel like the conversations are worth listening to. But I think it's because I'm wired differently. I'm a content. Even when I listen to my music, rap, mm-hmm. I'm strictly a lyric guy. I could care less about the beats.
Yeah.
So I'm very much in tune with, I want to hear what the person is saying. I want to know the details of it.
Yeah.
So every time we walk off set, Mutombo is better at catching something. But I think, you know what?
Yeah, Kim. Give us a name, yeah.
Kim. When Kim came.
Is it because that's.
I couldn't Kim. Talk. But okay. The reason why I couldn't talk was because I knew her on a personal level, and Mutombo was going in different pockets. And I was like, wow, like, okay, let Mutombo carry on. And I knew immediately that the things that she was touching on were sensitive subjects that Ghanaians like to be pretentious about.
Mm.
So to see a woman bear it all without any hold back, I was like, okay, this thing might get people's attention and get people talking. So
I still get people asking me to bring Kim back.
Mm. Yeah. For me, and then that girl, the one that we had a good laugh about, pretty girl. Sorry to call you that girl.
Penelope.
Penny, you're gorgeous too.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the model. tall girl.
Ifwa
was an unexpected.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be.
I was scared.
Yeah.
When Ifwa was coming on, because I know her and I know that you would never ever, you can't enter.
Yeah.
But Charlie, she cried. She laughed. It was dope. Personally, my favorite episode was. It wasn't a hit, but it was like after I went like, this is it. We are actually. Doing this was surprisingly with Kwekuti and Abeku.
That was a fun episode. Talking my goodness, drums. I think that's the one I've laughed the most on set.
Yeah.
It was hilarious. Like that episode was so raw. So
that
raw.
That episode, so
yeah,
Kwekuti is my bro, in law, and I felt I understood him more on the podcast.
Mm.
Than the Kwekuti that I know and all. Yeah. So I think that episode was it for me.
I think I know which one you're most annoying, like the one you were the most annoyed with. But
let's see.
I feel like the one you didn't like the most, or when the conversation was over, we were on totally, completely different end of what had happened.
Mensa's father.
Yes. Like he got up and he was like Charlie, and I was like so enamored by them into the man. I was like, and I sent Mensa like a long voice note, and they're like, is Fred okay? But I think
no. But after I released it, I'm like, oh wow,
this be was like that sometimes.
Dope. Yeah. This was actually dope.
I'm you.
You know, because I know him so well. I was like, I felt he was swerving us.
Yes, and I think that's what was generating there.
Yeah,
but. Once you go back and you listen, that's what I give him more respect. He was a very savvy old man. I think he knew what we were trying to do. He knows you like his son.
Yeah.
And in the moment, he's like, no, that is not the narrative. I'm going to maneuver.
Yeah.
And then finally, he did tell us how he felt, not how he feels about how his children feel.
Yeah.
And I took a lot from that. But yeah, I mean, I just think that podcasting... The way that it is, you have to find a person who, if it's a two-host thing, somebody that you respect and somebody that you gel with, not necessarily like yin-yang kind of thing, but I have a ton of respect for my co-host. Like, there's never a time where I'm sitting
talk co-host now, I'm like, who? No, seriously, my mind goes off small.
Yeah. But I think because there's a healthy respect there, there's never a time where he's saying something and I'm like, we now need to talk or
this thing 100%.
Foolish. I'm usually paying attention to say there's something I could pick it back off of.
Yeah.
How do I take it back to the guest?
Yeah.
How do we interact with them? How do we get them involved?
Yeah.
I feel like, oh my God, bro, if you're asking the same thing, my man go, boss, bro.
I can't do that.
Have you ever, ask the question, it's like, oh, I was about to ask the same question.
Oh, so many times. Yeah, yeah, so many times.
And that's what you're going to say, like, that would be crazy.
Yeah, and there are days that, you know, he would ask something and I was literally about to ask the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the question is so good and I go like, oh, fuck. Fuck this guy.
Yeah.
Who is this guy?
Shit.
Man, I hate Fred. Like, there are days that I've gone like that.
Yeah.
Not like hate in...
Yeah, hated, I get what you mean.
Exactly
like
you
bastard. Oh, shit, man. I was going to, you know, ask, you know. But, you know, I feel there is a perfect balance with us.
Mm.
So my first blog was called No Big Big in English.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, so I can show you. My first blog was No Big Big English. In school, I was an A student when it came to English. Math, you would never ever catch me.
Mm.
When I'm writing English, you know, I go in. But when I'm speaking it, I choose few words because of my stammer.
Mm.
Like, if I slack, I go stammer right now. So there are things that I want to say, but I can't say it the way I want to say it because I'll stammer.
Mm.
So Fred deals with the English and the deep questions. Yeah.
We are sitting at the right place.
Yeah. And I deal with the normal questions, but something that would also get you, you know, thinking. So I think with us, we are a perfect balance.
Yeah.
Zoo. This podcast, your podcast, Stay By Plan, is well known, right?
Yeah.
Has it ever brought you new friends, and especially girls?
Please show me the way.
Yo, I didn't see that one.
Like, you know,
right? I also didn't see that, but that's a good question.
I mean, yeah, let's say so. Yeah, you can say that.
But I feel like I've cock-blocked you a bit, and I'm very sorry.
More than a bit, but it's good though. It's good. Too much of everything.
Yeah, like you go inside.
Bro, too much of everything is bad.
But it's a question I've been meaning to ask. Now that you said it, I'll just ask it right away. There's an obvious chemistry between you guys.
Yeah.
Is there some?
Have you guys ever thought? Like if I date a manka, like.
Or maybe there's some external pressure that you guys kind of belong together.
People always say that we belong together. We form a
So wait, Charlie, have you, Afi?
Yes.
Have you thought about this before?
I always
think
about it. Somebody who cuts it.
but not in a lustful way. But have you thought, Charlie?
No, I haven't.
Zoo, if I got with Zoo, this podcast would move from 1 to 2 because one, we are going to live together, we are going to be in the same house, we are going to plan this thing together. The chemistry
you see
will be on like a 3 years level. Up.
But I want to, if you fight pie for house,
you
can't spoil that.
Yeah. Have you ever thought?
To be very honest, I think me and Zoo do very well as like co-host.
Yeah.
I feel like me and Zoo, even though we gel very well on the podcast and we are like great on working on a project, we have completely different values and beliefs. Like, we possibly, impossibly...
It's not completely like that.
We cannot
some
date.
Difference day. Yeah, we're not
going to fit. It wouldn't work. Like, it really wouldn't work. And I always say this, but people think I'm lying. But me and Zoo are actually related.
Yeah.
Like Zoo is a bedema.
Is it close?
Not really. Too close, but he's a bedema and I'm a chega and we are related.
Bedemas and chegas. So.
Yeah, they are related.
But it's long, Charlie, this one, yeah.
No, but I actually no go fit. And I know Zoo no go fit. Zoo can marry me.
So tell me what you think you guys are different in terms of values.
Mm.
The thing that you're speaking on.
You said it's
because it's in my notes about dating and all those values. It's right on point.
So Zoo is like, and even Mutombo knows this about me, Zoo is like way more open-minded than I am, like when it comes to like the institution of marriage and like what a relationship should look like.
Mm.
Zoo doesn't even want kids. For example, like, I want children. Zoo doesn't want children. Zoo doesn't even see himself married. Zoo sees himself maybe cohabiting with someone. I hope his mother is watching this. Cohabiting with someone and just, like, going with the vibe, which is fine. I respect that, but that's not the kind of person I am. Like, I just want to be in a very
traditional
regular,
setting.
Exactly. Just marry and have my children.
Have
and, exactly. And even with respect to religion, I think I'm definitely open-minded to an extent. But Mutombo knows, like, I'm Christian, but I'll not come and force you to come to church that one day. Right, I go listen to you and try and understand, like, where you're coming from. But my values still stay, like, where they are. And I think, Zoo is a little bit more open-minded than me.
Okay.
Yeah, so certain things I wouldn't tolerate, Zoo might tolerate.
Okay, so, Afi, if Zoo last year came to you and went like, you know what, now...
He sees some pressure.
You know what, now I'm a Christian, I'm this, I'm that, Charlie... Now, I want kids, Charlie, because as you see, Charlie, the world, where the world go there, Charlie. It's crazy, Charlie, the world, Charlie, Ghana, how Ghana, you know, I have to change my life, you know, I'm even going to, you know.
That's what he would do to get.
Yeah, wait.
Yeah, you go brand so right
Afi,
now.
So, Afi, if Zoo came to you last year with that, and you actually saw over the months, would you, is he someone that you would consider? No.
I don't know whether, also, I feel like,
you guys are so
like,
close.
Who knows my shit? Like, yo, how can I marry this person?
I was actually coming to that.
Like, Zoo knows too much. I feel like, yeah, everybody says marry your friend and everything, but it's not that kind. I feel like I've not even friend zoned him, or we have brother sister zoned each other. Like, we have such a solid, like, friendship. It not gonna make sense. Like, why did they try add person into
Zoo,
it?
Zoo for coming.
Zoo, have you I get a different question for him. Zoo, have you ever heard somewhere have you ever seen or have you ever been jealous because of someone Afi was dealing with?
Oh, I feel bad for this.
I'm playing.
He's not playing. Say it with your chest.
Oh, Charlie.
No. As it, so, like she said, me and him are very different on that relationship vibe, right? Even beyond the values, the things that she would tolerate are not the things I would tolerate. And the things that I would tolerate are not the things that she would tolerate. Yeah. So sometimes she would tell me about, oh, me and this guy, this and this and this happened. And I'm like, my head, I'm not saying this with my head, I'm like, that's exactly what I would have done.
Yeah.
So it means, like, if I was with her, like, probably, so a lot of the...
Wait. What you're trying to tell me is that when I come and confide in you that maybe this and this has happened and this person did this to me, low-key, if you're in his position, so you would have done the same thing to me.
But sometimes when you're saying this, I'm asking you, like, I want to understand more because I'm like... Why is this a problem? Like, why is this a problem?
Yeah,
I know the bomb.
Yeah.
So I have to ask more questions and understand the full scoop. Maybe sometimes at the end, I'm like, oh, okay, you should have done this instead. But I'm like, a few times, I'm like, Charlie.
I know
like,
the bomb.
That's me. Yeah. That's what I would have done. So, and that thing she's telling me about is a problem for her. She's upset about something. So, nah. It's not possible.
Afi said that. You're not necessarily into kids and then necessarily into marriage.
Yeah.
I think I fall on that spectrum somewhere. So I'm trying to learn something from you. You're younger, but I think we can learn from different people. Is it that you're absolutely no on both things, or you're not pressed by those things, or those things? It's not determinism for you. It's not like, Charlie, life, you for marry, then born.
Yeah.
Is it a thing of if I meet the right person and those circumstances lead us there, we both want the same thing, I will do it? I'm not rigid about not having children or having children, but if I'm with a partner and this is somebody that I see, I can co-have, you know, and for them, they want to get married and have children, I will consider and do that.
So for me, I think it's changed a bit over the years. No, it's not changing that way. As for the kids, they don't want kids.
Okay.
100%.
Why?
I don't know what children have done to Zoo.
It's not that they've done it. I actually like
him. Meanwhile, they like him.
I like them too, but in small doses. Mm. You understand? I see kids sometimes. I'm like, hey, so somebody has to take this person home.
Yeah.
And in the night, you did sleep or you did try to do one or two, and this child is awake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a nightmare. I'm just like, bro, I don't want this for my life. Like, I feel like, already as human beings, it's hard enough to take care of your own self.
Yeah.
Before taking care of a small, sometimes a version of you. If I have a child and the child is anything like I was when I was a kid, I feel like I would go mad. You understand? Because I was a nightmare. So the kids here, me, I'm not interested at all. It's for various reasons. I just feel like life just makes so much more sense without kids. But I do like
for
kids.
You personally,
for me personally, yeah.
Yes.
But I do like kids, so I've been telling my sister and things that she for born, so that, you know, I want to be like an uncle. You know? Now, at the end of the day, I'll give the thing back to the owner.
Yeah.
Go home.
That.
I'm so relating to you, but go on.
Yeah. Like, but on the marriage side, I'm not opposed to marriage. At the end of the day, it has to be somebody who shares similar values as I do. You know what I mean? So, someone who obviously also is not interested in having kids, because I'm not going to marry somebody and after
later something. I become battle.
Yeah, you understand?
But I told you in the beginning, you know, mm-hmm. I hear you.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want any of that too. So even I've actually had like potential like girlfriends and things where it's like
you've been in serious relationships.
I've been in serious relationships, but these people I'm talking about is like. But you get to that point where it's like, yo, should we take this to the next level? It's like, yeah, but you don't want kids. And then it ends there. It's like, should I actually like this person?
But because there was a day that I was coming to pick up some stuff from a friend of mine who had just gotten into town. And I was down waiting for them to come out to give me my stuff that they are bringing to me from Europe. She came, handed me the thing in a nice polythene bag and said, oh, you cry, you have a podcast, right? Do you know Zoo?
Hey.
I'm like, yeah. Vegetarian yawa guy Zoo. He's like, yeah, me vegetarians there, China now. Me,
so
I just watch them.
Vegan.
Yeah, I know. Vegan. I know. And she's like, oh, Zoo is there.
Hey.
Yes, Zoo is up there. I'm like, oh, okay. And she came with a squad.
So you know what? I believe this story here, because Zoo likes foreigners. Yeah. Like Zoo likes
this is going to be off mic, but I will tell you then. The girl from Holland.
Hey!
You see who?
Crazy.
You see who?
That's for you.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. So you know, I know you have been in relationships because this is Accra. I just went to pick up stuff from someone and they told me that, oh, you
he's
were there.
Upstairs.
Yeah. And yeah, so are you saying the relationship ends when babies or wedding, if you don't know, comes, you know?
Oh, no, I mean, you have the conversation from the very beginning, right? But, you know, sometimes you have the conversation and then the person will say, oh, I want kids. And I'll say, I don't want kids. But you'll be there, yes, also. You know what I mean? So you just want to like explore it a little bit. But when it starts to get serious, and it's like, oh, were you being serious? Like, true, you don't want kids. True, you want kids. You know, it's like, okay, now we are at a crossroads and it doesn't make sense for us to go forward because you know that
at the end of the day,
it's going to end.
So somebody's going to be unhappy.
Exactly. So let's just.
That's so sad because I feel like the women just assume, because even for me, like with Zoo, I low key feel like,
eventually,
wait, it's not that deep. That's how they feel, and then they get into the relationship when they see that nah, nigga man makes serious. Then they say, and that's sad. I'm sad about that.
Wow. Oh, don't be sad.
Go.
Oh, okay, so taking it away from you guys, because I think we put the spotlight on you guys for a little while. But what do you guys feel? Am I right in thinking you guys are more Gen Z than millennials, or you're borderline?
I think we are in the middle, but like,
who do you feel closer to? Who do you guys feel closer to?
I feel closer to the millennials. I just dress like a Gen Z.
Okay. I like your kicks, by the way. I'm a big sneakerhead.
So. Thank you so much.
Okay, what do you think the dating climate is looking like for everyone? I mean,
so
I'm supposed to be out of the dating scene, but I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm still single, but I'm not actively dating. But when you guys look at the cultural climate in the current generation, the value sets, what people think, how, you know, you go about things. What do you guys in general think? Like, what's the pool looking like?
It's ghetto. Very ghetto.
Are you single?
Yeah, I'm single.
I don't know why she's laughing, though.
You be player.
I don't know why she's laughing, though.
She be gangster. She lighten them up. Massa.
It's complicated.
Oh, okay.
Complicated. Yeah, that's why I'm laughing. It's very complicated.
Yeah, so back to friends.
So, I mean, what do you... Okay. The climate is ghetto. You said that.
Ish,
part.
Yeah.
What do you think is influencing that? I think that's more my question. What do you think is creating this climate of ghetto-ness?
People are just getting very influenced by the things that they see online, it's just made what's a good relationship, like what I think a good relationship should look like, it doesn't exist anymore. Because like when you go online, people are always talking about those things, like, oh, even if you are nice, like your boyfriend, he will cheat on you once in a while because Charlie, yeah. Those kind of things, you know, like, and women too are doing the whole like, if you don't respect me, whatever, whatever, if you don't have this amount of money, cancel, like, you know, like, yeah.
What do you bring
just,
to the table? What,
yeah, it's just like, there's just so much high expectations. Even before you enter, you probably end up being with someone who is lying because they are trying to meet a specific like mm-hmm. expectation of what society thinks he should be or she should be. So it's just like you are going to spend like maybe the first 3 months is just not real.
Yeah, working through the bullshit.
Yes, before now you actually know who the person is and it's like, you know what, I don't like you. But yeah. Guess what, I just wasted 3 months because what I thought I liked about you doesn't even exist. So yeah. I just find it very like weird.
What do you think, Zoo?
Kind of similar, but I don't know. Me, I tend to. How do I say this?
Say it.
You're enjoying it to your benefit.
Yeah, like you kind of know how to play. You know how to play the game. You know?
Listen,
like you know how to play the game. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I, you know what? The climate, I think, for all intents and purposes, is benefiting people who are okay with promiscuity.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is not me.
Oh, Zoo, let's be serious.
But I want to think about it. Maybe you've said it, like, I think expectations are different, but me personally, I think when people meet each other, when the honesty cannot be out the gate and you still have to play this game of this is what is expected of me, so I'm going to go along with it. It tarnishes so much that I lose interest, because when I realize that you were trying to present something to me, then I'm like, okay, I can't trust you going forward, because you,
exactly.
You did jump, you did hop, you just did try a package for me.
Exactly.
So even though I'm too, I should have probably settled down based on societal standards.
Yeah.
I don't even bother dating anymore. And I've gotten to the point where I'm like, so I don't know.
So when are they just the braga?
If the braga, you see the braga too is becoming hard though. As I'm getting older, people think there's something wrong with you because they wonder why you're at this age, you haven't settled down, you don't have any kids, and they think there's something up.
Yeah.
So now I'm having to have conversations I don't want to have because I've told you this is what I want. And then they are like, oh, but. So now I just need sleep.
Are there topics that you have discussed that made you feel so uncomfortable?
On our podcast?
Yeah.
No.
I don't think so. I feel like
it doesn't allow us to talk about it.
I'll find a nice way of just moving
like,
out.
Like what topic?
Me personally, I don't like talking about politics.
Okay.
And I don't like talking about like overly explicit stuff, like with no purpose. Like, okay. Why are we talking about like sexual stuff?
True.
With no purpose. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just go past somewhere and we'll not talk about it again.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't do it like, no, you can't talk about that on my podcast. Yeah. I'll just like find a way to just.
Mm. But what's wrong going in? Like, it's sex. Hey. And I'm sure that we have been.
Sex, you have to go
and I'm sure that we have been talking about the harm our parents did to us by not speaking to us about sex.
Yeah.
So why are we shying away from talking about sex?
No, you are getting me wrong. Like I said earlier,
without purpose.
Like why? Because we've had a sex conversation before on the podcast.
What we do very well is have purpose and meaning for everything that is mentioned on you know the podcast.
Podcast, yeah.
With this thing, we can go in and you go like, wow,
yeah.
I never actually thought of this.
That. Yeah. So that's fine.
So should we go? Should we try?
If you want to go in, that's fine.
You know, you
choose. Okay.
Zoo, enough talking about meat, like and you know beating the meat and then eating
that's
the meat.
That's a good one.
You know, I like that.
You know, you don't eat meat.
Yeah, I don't eat meat.
You are a vegan.
Yeah.
Like vegan.
Vegan.
So no cheese, no milk,
vegan,
no ice cream.
Vegan.
Wow.
He eats sorbet.
Yeah. and I always say this, one of the yummiest ice creams that I have had in this world was a vegan ice cream.
Really?
Yeah, they might not see or hear this, but shout out to Salt and Straw up in LA, you know, Cali. They're all around.
Salt and Straw.
Yeah, and they have
I love those names some, and the way they come up with
and they have some of the dopest vegan ice creams.
Mm.
crazy. Zoo, how difficult has it been not eating meat? Like, did you start with this? Like, is it a family thing? Or you just woke up one day and went like, no, I don't want to eat meat and any animal product?
It's a bit of both. So growing up, on my dad's side, all the men are vegetarian, starting from there. So his dad, my dad, his brothers, they're all vegetarian. So my dad has been vegetarian since he was like 20 years old or something like that. So I grew up with a vegetarian parents. My mother, she did real all that. So I grew up in that, you know, with that. Cook for their own selves. Sometimes they cook for each other as well. So, you know. But then nobody forced anything on me. You know, so I went my own way. So I was eating, bro, I used to eat meat. Crazy, like all sorts of animals. But then it got to a point where I think I was like 19, 20, where, you know, I started workouts, you know, trying to build my ego as a man, all those things. And health became very, very important to me. Like, I really wanted to be healthy. And just through going to the gym and feeling healthier physically, I'm like, yo, I like this feeling and I want to maintain this feeling. So I started entertaining my dad's conversations on being vegetarian more, because he did, like, I could be like 7 years old and I'd be like, ah, so you, why are you not eating this? Why are you not eating this? Like, you're missing out. It's like, Charlie. And you say something like, I don't want to eat a corpse. You could say something like that.
Yeah.
And I'll be thinking, like, even at that young age, I'd be thinking, like, technically, it's kind of right, you know, but it'd be, so forget this guy, you know, then we go inside. So at that age of like 20, 21, I started thinking about it more. I was like, okay, it started making sense. And then some of my friends who had left Ghana and gone to uni outside Ghana, obviously it's easier to start in those places because, you know, more options and everything. So some of them went vegan. Like, yo, Charlie, this, you know, obviously, I don't know if you guys know anybody who's vegan or vegetarian, but when they start,
I know someone. Bro, why did you laugh? It's okay. That's your mouth.
But yeah, people tend to talk about it a lot. Yeah. When they make a major life change, like, they will tell everybody.
They will tell everybody.
Yeah. So they started telling me.
Yeah.
So now, Charlie, yeah, that's cool and all, but I cry a day. I mean, I don't know if you do this thing. Like, yeah, it's not possible here. But then I knew that I know that it's possible to be vegetarian. Right? Mm. So, okay, I know that's a step. So, okay, one day, if I leave Ghana, I'll be vegan. I'll just try it. And then they came back. My friends came back to Ghana. And a couple of them, one stopped. When he came back, he said, Charlie, me, I don't like stress. Started chewing his chicken and things again. Like, cool. But a couple other ones stuck to it. And then just like hanging out with them, cooking with them. I was like, yo, I don't know if you do this thing for you. Yeah, like, yeah. So I tried it. I was like, yo, it's a vibe, and I actually felt healthier.
Tell me the difference between veganism and vegetarianism again.
So basically, vegan is like no animal product at all.
Okay.
Even if it's derived from an animal product, you can't eat it.
Yeah.
But vegetarian, did it go like dairy? Egg,
you go feed drink milk.
Yeah. Oh,
but okay. Vegan is like, you know, if there was an animal involved somewhere, nah, man.
Yeah. I mean, I've gone vegetarian, not vegan, vegetarian for like 3-4 years, and I felt
have you heard it?
I'm sorry.
Charlie, tell him your mind. I know, like, so.
No, you guys, no, it's just wild. I've known this guy for so many years, and today, just before we started recording, I realized that he wasn't as vegetarian as he told you guys that he was. The first time we met, he took me for lunch at a vegetarian place, only for me to find out today that that he went to eat meat. It was all vibes. It was just like branding to add to the spoken word. Psychosexual.
You know what would be crazy? I think I said it, but you were not here. When I started, I think there was a conversation that happened with a couple of people, and they were telling me other people who are vegetarian or vegan, and someone there was like, oh, I think Mutombo is vegan. Another person said, it's a lie.
For real now.
I saw him eating food and some chumba. Oh, Charlie, open the keys. I said,
No. But there was a period where I went off.
You have tried it before. And did you feel better?
Way, way better.
Right.
Yeah. Like, really? I went off when I realized one morning I was going to work. I had a 9 to 5 then. And I was lacing my shoes. And I was squeaking like... like a door hinge, like a rusty door hinge.
Yeah.
That was when I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Wow.
Then I'm like, nah, Charlie, I have to exercise. And maybe I have to cut meat
down a bit.
And Charlie, after a week, You know, be say 1 month old.
Yeah.
I saw the you know difference.
Yeah,
you
really?
Feel it. Yeah. After a week. Yeah.
So
true.
Okay, you Mochombo, you have the experience with that, and you're living testimony. Vegan, living testimony. Are you vegan?
No, I'm not. Okay, but I can eat vegan.
Okay.
I'll be the one that everybody go for eat vegan. Everybody go eat.
No, like so. I can actually like I like when I'm out with Zoo, I yeah. actually order vegan food sometimes. Okay. Like okay. just for like to respect him, and I genuinely like some of their food.
Oh, that's, so the question because I've been very keen on, I feel like we're shortchanged how we are raised in terms of knowing what to eat for the purposes of health. Now, as much as I trivialize just eating, I mean, I think the way eating should have been taught is about health, not about hunger.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that's what governs our ability to function in life. Like, you know, there are things that come down the pike and our elders choose rather to say, ubinya betu. With things like hypertension, diabetes, we are predisposed to. And I've been reading, in the past 5 years, I've been reading different materials. There's research that happened in the States about what is the proper diet. And some of it is saying one thing, to eat protein, to do this, to eat fatty meats, blah, 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 is healthy for you. Some people are saying the veganism can affect you this way.
Yeah.
I read some other research. I was talking about blood type, eating according to your blood type, yada, yada. And I'm very confused at the moment about, I think, well, I'm leaning towards every person, depending on your genetics, should know what functions and works well for you health-wise.
Yeah.
I don't think there's one silver bullet. I don't think there's one answer or
agreed.
Solution.
Agreed.
That one there.
So that's because it's like sometimes I'll be like, oh, should I be a vegan? Mm. Should I be this or should I be that?
Yeah.
But I'm trying to find the information such that to the next generation, if nothing at all, I don't want to pass on anything else, but I feel like it's like a computer. Mm. How do you take care of the computer? And it's all shrouded in secrecy. I want to know to say, listen, I'm now lactose intolerant. I can't eat certain things, but I used to be able to eat them. What really happened? Is it because the way the food is being grown? Yeah. Or is it because my body has changed? All of these questions, I want to be able to tell.
Yeah.
I don't have kids, but if I do have kids, or even my brother's children and stuff, I want to be able to leave them like information to say, this is how we are, this family, this is how we eat. I don't know why I went on this tangent, but I guess I'm trying to glean from you guys that, how do you guys manage yourselves health-wise to stay in shape, to stay, you know, to stay on point? Like, so, Afi, is there any routine that you have? And then you can tell me.
So I've always liked sporting activities. So I like going to the gym. I'm not as consistent now because stay by plan and my 9-to-5 are killing me and it's pissing me off because the gym is so important for me. Like, if I'm not in the gym, I feel off. I don't feel healthy.
Okay.
So for me, exercise is important. Diet. Zoo knows, like, my diet is not the best. It should be way more better than it is now. And I feel like what you're saying, I resonate with this so much because I think I'm supposed to be vegan.
Okay.
And not even like Zoo's own. I feel like mine is more serious. Because when I even eat, like, food that has oil in it, I don't feel comfortable. Like, you eating and feeling gassy or having chest, it's not normal. Like, you shouldn't eat food and then you are feeling uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But that happens to me often. And if I go off, like, regular cooked food and I eat, like, fruits and vegetables, I feel so much better. So I know that for me, I'm someone who is not even supposed to eat food that is been put in oil. Like, I'm supposed to be eating smoked food and reduce stuff like that. That's the kind I'm not supposed to eat spices. Like, I already know that this is what my body needs, but it's difficult because if I see the pork. I know they fit
the way you've been nurtured, like you're used to it, it's difficult for me.
The only time I eat meat, I binge on meat, is when I'm stressed.
Right.
When I'm stressed, so anytime you last week I think I told you that I'm using meat to cook nowadays because I'm stressed.
Yeah.
When I'm stressed, when I'm depressed, I enter the meats and the ice creams and that one there. So
Zoo was going to tell us about Zoo. His.
Okay. So just briefly, so not to be like a conspiracy theorist or anything, but I think it's also important for us to remember that the food systems are all sponsored from different angles, right? So even just through our education, just through the things you see on Instagram, what you learned in school,
yeah,
someone saying eat meat,
yeah,
there's a reason why they're saying that. A lot of these things are funded. Even someone saying eat vegetables, be vegan, someone is funding it. So I think people just need to find, like, I feel like it's very, very important for everybody to explore food, eat different foods from different countries, cultures, pay attention to different cultures. Like, if you research, they'll tell you that Japanese people are some of the people who live the longest, because they eat a lot of vegetables, they eat fish, you know, they don't eat like a lot of red meat. They live the longest, they're the healthiest. So just like look at some of these things and then just like try different things. I always say trying different things is the most important. And then you find what works for you. Like you eat something that, like, you know, I feel better with this, you know. Like, the way we eat in Ghana is based on colonization, poverty, because you know, some of the our parents were, so maybe you guys were also there, but
they are so rude. The Rollins, Rollins chain.
Rollins chain, them times.
So you guys were also there.
You know, hey.
What time you catch?
Yeah, of course. I'll be 83 or come.
Rollins chain. We're babies.
Even something, going through something like that would change the way you see food. And the way, so if like my parents, bro, they if we buy food to store, and it's, I can see that it's trauma.
Yeah, those times, you know,
like if you buy rice like 6 bags, I'm like, bro, like just buy one. When you finish buying another one,
you
go buy a lot of. So, just don't listen to your parents all the time. Do you know what I mean? Like, find it for yourself. That's my advice to people. I tell everybody. I'm not saying, I mean, I don't tell people to be vegan. Like, that's what works for me.
Yeah.
Find what works for you and stick with
that. Yeah, because
I really go like make trimmer and just be healthy. There's things I've experimented with that have worked, but sometimes it feels like it's worked, but I need to change something, or I don't want to do it for too long because I don't know what it's doing to my system.
Yeah,
kind of thing.
You so can you can start and check. You can start and check. You can start and then check.
You check.
Like, Fred, do you go for yearly checkups?
Yeah, twice.
That's good.
Twice a year.
Yeah.
Religiously.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so right. You can start and, you know, check. Okay. Me, so unfortunately, do once a year.
Okay.
At the beginning, or I wait until the middle, then I do it. And I know what's happening with what I'm taking in, because I do all sorts of, you know, tests, you know, so you can start and then check.
Maybe I'll talk to you offset about what tests you're running.
You can start and check. Afi, appearance is one big deal for you women. And I'm not trying to be sexist. Is it the right word?
I guess it depends on the question. Yeah. I guess.
Yeah. You guys always want to be on point,
right?
And you can even tell now. Zoo came in Crocs, like T-shirt, like that's. So I think Zoo is me and Fred is you, because Fred. Because Fred, I'm sure checks. Should I wear this? Should I not wear this? But me, I enter my stuff and I basically pick anything and everything and wear. It's not the same for you women. You want to look your best when you are going to host your podcast. Has it been tough, like, for finding stuff? And do you go to Cannes?
Yeah, I go to Cannes. It's tough. I say it's tough. Hey, what am I buying? It's tough.
Yeah.
And I think, like you're saying, I appreciate the fact that you said even in the podcast. I think people are more, what's the word I'm looking for?
Particular?
No, not particular, but like they are inclined. More. No, like not objective, but like they will look more at a woman and what you are wearing on the podcast as compared to like what Zoo is wearing. So it puts you in the space of having to be more intentional.
Yeah.
And especially for me, like, I used to be very chill, especially on the podcast. Like, I don't care whatever I'm wearing, I'll come. But then at the end of the day, we watch the video. My thighs are showing too much. This is showing. And it just becomes a whole thing. So, like, this season, I'm like, nah, I'm pulling up in my jeans and my big tee. I don't want any stress. And, I think it just goes back to society. Zoo can pull up somewhere just looking normal. A woman is like, oh, well, you don't even take care of yourself. Because even sometimes I just want to be chill. Like, I know the
but
base.
Today you're chill.
Your
top is really dope. Is it Ghanaian made?
Yeah, it was a gift.
It's nice, so
yeah, it'd be fresh, like super fresh.
Yeah, thank you. Cool. I'll give you the details.
The way it's a gift, is it the situationship that brought it?
No, you're stupid. I used to pay.
I used to pay.
I used to pay. Are you stupid?
I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. Anna,
Zoo is actually from the shit.
No, but
no, let's not go there.
Is Zoo right?
He's not.
Oh, don't worry. This is going to be off.
I'm wrong.
Yes, I'm wrong. Don't talk tonight. So Charlie, so
what we've been talking about?
Your appearance.
Because even if you're sometimes I'm traveling and I'm coming back, I just want to wear my normal. But people do judge you as a woman, like when you look ras. It's like you're not taking like you're a dirty girl. That's the vibe you that we are feeling. Like you don't take care of yourself. Yeah, you also just want to be chill.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I go to Kant.
Yeah, you go to Kant. Yeah.
For real.
Yeah, I go to Kant.
Okay. Mm. Yeah. Like for what?
To buy clothes.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Mm. I mean, I've been to Kant. I used to go to Kant when I was a young guy and stuff. Yeah. So I understand. They have some good quality stuff.
Yeah, but
that's where the queen all day.
Yeah. No. But if you slack, they'll give you Quay.
Yeah, if you slack.
Do you know Quay?
No, what's Quay?
Yeah, Charlie.
Life ago.
Yeah, your brother like you say? Fig. Yeah, Fig. Yeah.
Quay.
Queen. Back then, 90s, that was there.
Quay. Yeah. Why did we even call it that?
Yeah, Quay. I don't know. I think it stems from, and don't judge, people say I'm telling stories. It stems from those kids' shoes where when they step it makes creak.
Yeah. The people they have creak, the fake air this thing.
Creak. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Creak.
Say 40 years into this, what is the legacies that we're looking at? Like from where you guys sit, where do you think your impact can be or where do you think the country can go? And what effort is it going to require from those of us who are actively living here and building, for all intents and purposes, businesses and whatnot here?
Okay. First of all, the hope, it's scary. I think, especially this one day, I'll put the people on blast. Like, we went for a TikTok internet safety event, and there were people from the ministries of what?
Communication and so on.
And then cybersecurity, like all the people who are into the, like, related to the media space. And then they kept on, like, bashing. Like, TikTok actually has come to Ghana. They've gotten a space, and they're coming to talk to you about, like, safe, like making internet safe. And they are there bashing TikTok that, but people do this on TikTok, and people are going to ban TikTok. Why should we? Like, they were just...
Being negative.
Being negative. And I actually took the mic, and I'm like, you guys always complain about these things, but you don't even support creatives. You are saying that you don't like the fact that we come and talk by heart, but you are not even, you don't even care about the narrative. Like, they don't care about the narrative. And they don't invest in us. You did AFCON. You didn't give anybody a media pass.
That's crazy.
You do stuff.
Seriously.
They didn't give us a media pass. They didn't give anybody a media pass.
After $250 million.
Exactly. And then after all this happens, come and see the number of them. Oh, my God. So come and sit beside me. Oh, what you said was very good. What's your number? None of them called me back. None of them. None of the people from the ministry. So... The problem is deep because if I could say that in front of the people, the relevant stakeholders, and none of them have called them, and I know that in their minds, I am supposed to call them because I am the one who needs them.
Yeah.
But then, like you are saying, in the next few years, we are going to be, we are going to tell the story and the narrative, and whatever we say is what the youth is going to listen to. So it's in their best interest to collaborate with us.
Of course.
But they don't see it like that, and it's sad. But like we've said on this podcast, it's important for us to collaborate. Mm. It's important for us to speak to people outside. And me and Zoo started this like you. We talk about all things Accra. But we've changed it that we talk about all things Accra and beyond. Because as you've said, we are trying to upskill and have more conversations about Africa as a whole.
Yes.
And like tell the African story. Yeah. And for Stay By Plan, we even called it Stay By Plan. And I'm really talking. Called it Stay By Plan because, and then even the theme song, Accra Biha, so, so stressful the yard. But for us, we want people to understand that Nanama McBrown is a normal person who did A, B, C, D and got to where she did. So if she could do it, you can do it. Like, at the end of every conversation, we make sure that whoever is watching should be able to see that the person sitting with us is normal and they've been able to make it. So there is some level of hope. But unfortunately, the people who they have the money, the governments, that are supposed to be supposed. I remember that somebody said that they were doing media creative spaces in each of the regions for us. They've not even done it in Accra. Like, yeah, yeah, so they just take us for a joke. And it's cool.
The lies. And,
and remember episode with Kuku Kwamanfo?
Yep.
She spoke about, and someone came to comment about the grants that she got, you know, and someone came to comment talking about how people are not, like, they are clueless. They have not even thought of.
Is this TikTok or YouTube?
YouTube or Instagram, one of them.
Okay, probably IG, because I've been checking the YouTube.
It go over them. Because the thing we went for is TikTok is now, like, collaborating with African Union to work on, like, internet safety. Yeah. Like, if you can't beat them, join them. Like, and you can't beat us, so you just join us. Yeah. But they don't want to join. Yeah. And they really go over them in the future. Yeah. Like,
absolutely.
Yeah. So do you want to add something?
Yeah, and with the hope, I think something that we also, you kind of touched on it, something that we also really think about is impact. Like, each conversation we have, what's the impact? What's the lasting effect? What's the legacy? You know, so we often find ourselves having conversations about health. Like, recently did an episode on autism. Mm. We've done an episode on sickle cell. Like, there's things that are very, very important that people should know. So even if, let's say, Step Up Plan ends tomorrow, I'm content.
Yeah.
Because I know that I've had conversations where not only have I educated myself, but everybody listening has learned something new.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for me personally, as I've recently really been thinking about, like, purpose. Like, what's my purpose? Like, what's the purpose of life? And I'm reaching a stage where I feel like my purpose is to, one, entertain, two, to be creative, and three, just to impact lives.
Wow.
And I feel like through Step Up Plan, I'm able to do each of those three. And that's why I take it so seriously. That's why it's so important to me. And that's why, like, even though sometimes it gets hard, I still want to do it.
Yeah.
Because at the end of this conversation, people listen to us, they will be impacted by what we've said. Mm. Even if it's one person. Oh, yeah. Before you go, I'm sorry, before you go, I just have to give you guys, like, flowers. Me, that's my favorite thing. I like to...
But you guys don't get any questions. You guys don't have any questions
the
for
name,
us.
Maybe why do you call one? It If More Less Divide?
And also, who made this? It's amazing.
Yeah, so the backdrop was made by a friend of mine, an artist friend that I manage, that I work with. Shouts to Nana Anof. Nana Anof Gallery, you can check him out, you know, on Instagram and everywhere. Dope artist worldwide, metal artist. And the name was basically my work, right? Mm. Yeah, I had a couple of names in my book and none worked. And usually the wildest thoughts or the best thoughts do come to me at dawn. One day I woke up and If More or Less Divide just rang in my head. But I didn't know why. If More or Less Divide, you know, it's a phrase in math, you know, with fractions.
Yeah.
Yeah. If More or Less Divide, If More or Less Divide. So I was just, I said it to myself a couple of times. I went out to do something. Then I'm like, wait, the podcast can actually be If More Less Divide, but it doesn't make sense. And by the end of the day, I had come up with If More, Let's Divide, basically talking about if there is an issue to talk to like discuss, if there is a topic, let's sit down and break it down.
Yeah, that's
into pieces. I can show you the names that I had. They are all there, and this wasn't part at all, but it came to me one dawn, and One last question then.
Yeah, one last question. Okay. So what gives you fulfillment, like, from this podcasting thing? Because there was this girl who listens to the podcast and wrote, like, a whole passage one day and, like, told us how much the podcast means to her. Bro, I almost cried.
Yeah, I cried.
Yeah, I was, like, on the verge of tears. Like, it was so... I'll never forget, like, what she said. And it just... Like I was speaking about earlier, it just made me realize, like, why I do it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what's that thing for you? Or things, what are the things that make you feel like, yeah, this is why I do this podcast? Even though it's very hard, like we've discussed.
Trey, you'll go.
Yeah, I'll make it quick.
Yeah.
You know, maybe the fan that wrote to you is me as well.
Yeah.
Because I think growing up, I was straddling two lines in life. A lot of people used to see me as maybe this loud, quote-unquote, popular kid. He's all over the place. He's boisterous, yada, yada. But there was an extreme nerd side to me that has remained more than the boisterous, wants to be seen, rapping on stage, blah, blah, blah. But the things that bothered me were deeply, like, you know, mental. They were things that I would spend time with myself pondering over, and I'm wondering, is anybody else thinking and feeling these things? And as I got older, what I came to realize was a lot of people were dealing with the same things I was dealing with. They're just not willing to be as vocal about it.
Right.
And so a long time ago, I set out trying to be very vocal. I started writing on Facebook. I started writing on, what's the other one? High Five. I was writing on BBM. I was always writing something somewhere, just expressing myself, expressing my thoughts. And now, because of this podcast, people actually walk up to me in strange places and give me the nod. Oh, Charlie, bro, if more or less that, it means a lot. And then they just like...
Yeah, fist bump, yeah.
And I'm like, nothing else matters for me. It's worth it, like, to keep going. So, yeah, Tomo.
So, my life, I've always said that I am an altruist. So I think of others more than yourself. I think of myself. And for a very, very long time, my mom had an issue with that. I was always putting people first. And I'm always thinking about how I can help, how I can reach, and how I can basically share the little that I have. I didn't grow up in an artsy home. I think I'm the first person from my family in the art, just because of my trait. So I started as a spoken word artist. It's just to share my thoughts, just to right wrongs. That was one of the reasons I started spoken word artist. I started taking photos just to tell stories from where I am from. So if you check my Instagram, you will not see a picture of me. I have over 1,000 posts. You won't see me taking a selfie and sharing. I always want to talk about things, right? Trying to right wrongs with every single thing that I do. And it's the same for this podcast. And it's so strange, a podcast, because I can't talk. People think otherwise, but I think that 99% of the time, what I really wanted to say, I don't say. Like me using this a maltruist word, I had to think from like a minute before I said it. I know what it means, but altruist, it might get difficult for me to say when I get to that point. Then I'll flip it. So I like thinking about people more than I think about myself, but I can use just one word to describe all of that. So it's so strange why I found interest in podcasting. But like spoken word, climbing stages, and I've climbed stages both in Ghana and elsewhere, it's given me the vim to face one of my biggest fears, is that's not being able to talk. So it's actually, I'm actually using this as therapy, in a way, if you think about it. Basically that's the, you know, like joy that, or the fulfillment that I get in, you know, from like doing this podcast. Charlie. But you know what? This is so unexpected, because I thought we were going to fool.
Me too.
Like, we fooled small.
Not enough.
Small. But Charlie, it was straight business.
It was very deep,
from the beginning to the end. And I'm so grateful for this episode and for having these two amazing guys. Press Press that tab there.
This one.
Red. Yes, yes. Press out.
Come on. Yeah, sound Charlie. Effect. Okay.
Yeah, Charlie. Charlie, guys. Yeah, it's been a dope conversation. A really, really great one. An unexpected one. Because I know Afi very, very well. And I thought we were going to mess up every now and then. But Charlie, it's been intellectual. You know, and I hate doing intellectual, Charlie. I'm always looking out to have fun, yeah. And I'm sure that someone out there would enjoy and would take something from this episode, Charlie Fred.
Yeah,
short, snap.
Yeah. You see, he's always trying to censor me. After he talks plenty too.
Oh, did I talk?
Literally
plenty?
Me.
Listen, he did talk plenty, but if he said if he some, you think you have brevity? He's cool. Quickly, I didn't know you guys from Adam. I've only seen you on screen, honestly, and maybe twice.
Right.
But I'm always intentional when Mutombo says I should pay attention to people that he wants to talk to. And it's been absolutely worth it. I think you guys are fucking amazing.
Thank you so much.
And I mean, yeah, I'm glad that you're a part of the collective because your spirit is pure. Being around you lets me know that there's genuine energy around what we're all collectively trying to achieve. And I just hope that the relationship, you know, prospers from here.
Are we worthy of coming?
No, you guys have to come. The fooling has to happen. So yeah. You guys have to come.
Yeah, maybe that's where we'll do the fooling.
This was important.
Charlie.
Come as you are.
Yeah, you guys should come on the podcast. That'll be fun. Yeah.
Charlie, this is dope. This is dope. Like, unexpected. Yeah. But I did love it a whole lot, Charlie.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Yeah, we thank you for, you know, checking this episode out. We thank you for listening to the If More, Let's Divide podcast. So this time, Zoo, you are going to press the applause button for me.
But Tomo, you know the way he talks sometimes, it sounds like you'd be one of them pastors. You like collection.
Charlie, Afi, and Zoo, Charlie, we thank you for coming to the If More, Let's Divide podcast. Another episode, another week, Charlie. You guys, we thank you for sticking with us. And Charlie,
subscribe.
Yeah, you guys for subscribe. You guys for check out Stay By Plan 2. And we go leave a link at the bottom wherever you find this podcast, Charlie. Yeah. The If More, Let's Divide podcast. Fred.
Yes, sir.
We are through.
Woo! Thank you guys so much.
Say it again.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.